ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरोन्वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्णकरुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते। तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरि वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
Third canto, first four chapters are predominantly the discussion between Uddhava and Vidura, and Vidura was sent to Maitreya for learning Bhagavatam, and Vidura asked several questions, so in response to that Maitreya is giving answers one by one. So that is what has happened in the last seven chapters. Right, seven chapter is complete, na? Now eight chapter. So now eighth chapter today. So this eighth chapter discusses the manifestation of Brahmaji from Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu. So now in the first verse, Maitreya Muni is glorifying Vidura's family. One of the significant themes throughout Bhagavatam is, Bhagavatam is presented mainly in the form of questions and answers, right? An inquisitive hearer who is a devotee is putting forward so many questions, and a qualified speaker is presenting answers, right? It's in the form of conversations between two devotees. Now you can see many times the hearer with great inquisitiveness, with great eagerness, and with great appreciation for the subject matter, he glorifies the speaker and he glorifies the content of the speech several times. And the speaker also is reciprocating with the enthusiasm of the hearer, and he is inspired by the enthusiasm of the hearer also, and then he glorifies the hearer also several places. So you have compiled a long presentation on the qualities of hearer speaker. You also have made, right, an assignment topic. So yeah, you know a lot in the first two cantos, the qualities of hearer, qualities of speaker. So here is one example. This chapter begins with one such example. First, Maitreya Muni is glorifying Vidura and his family. right, before answering the questions. Now question is put forward and answer has to be given. So between the question and answer, there are some other things also, which is glorification of hearer and speaker, glorification of the subject matter. Right? Satsevaniyo bhatapurvamsho yallokapalo bhagavat pradhana bhabhuvitehajjitakirtimalam पदे पदे नूतनयस्य भीक्ष्णम्. I don't have mic. You can recite. Someone. Okay, you read. Here Maitreya Muni is glorifying Vidura. So Vidura's family, right? All of you are pure devotees, and because you are devoted to the personality of Godhead, you are all pure devotees. So very glorious dynasty you are coming from. Bhagavat Pradhanam. He is glorifying Puru dynasty as Bhagavat Pradhana, right? So you are also born in that family, and it is wonderful that because of your attempt, the transcendental pastimes of the Lord are becoming newer and newer at every moment. So pade pade notainayasya abhikshnam, right? Abhikshnam means always. Where else this word is coming? Abhikshnam. Kunti Maharani's prayers. Srinvanti gayanti ghrananti abhikshnasaha. Abhikshnasaha means very regularly, constantly, always. Right, Bhagavat Pradhana, Yello Kapalo Bhagavat Pradhana. Where else this word comes? Alexis Proof. Bhagavat Pradhana. Simhachalam Prabhu should say. Huh? Tanna Bhavan Vai. Yes, Subal Brand Prabhu, you remember? We are an authority on hearer and speaker. Subject matter. Tanno bhavan vai bhagavat pradhano mahattam ekanta parayanasya hare rudaram charitam vishuddham susrushatamno vitanotu vidvam. So tanno bhavan vai bhagavat pradhano. So having the supreme personality of Godhead as the only object of one's service is the quality of a speaker. Right? Then hare rudaram charitam vishuddham. The supreme Lord Hari's magnanimous qualities and history, okay, or history, is the glorious subject matter. Hare udaram charitam vishuddham, very pure. Then susrushatam no vitanotibdan. Susrushatam is the qualification of the hearer. He is very eager to hear. Right? Now here that Bhagavat Pradhanu is applied to the hearer and his family. Right? So there is an overlap between the qualities also. Like that. So now Prabhupada explains why this Puru dynasty was so glorious, right? Not because of money, opulence, power, etc. They are very glorious because they are Bhagavat Pradhana. They are devotees of Bhagavan, Krishna. So one's devotion makes one glorious, not opulence and other material attributes. Right? That is the lesson that Prabhupada gives here. And Prabhupada also gives one more insight. They are Bhagavat Pradhanam, not Paramatma Pradhan or Brahman Pradhan. Right? They are not attached to Paramatma or Brahman. They are attached to Bhagavan. Right? Amongst the three phases of Absolute Truth, what is it? Verse? Vadanti Tat Tattva Vidas. Tattvam Vijnana Vadvayam. Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavaniti. So Bhagavan is the topmost feature of the absolute truth, right? So they are not attached to this Bhagavan, Brahman or Paramatma, they are attached to Bhagavan, like that. Now what is the other aspect? Bhubhuvitejhita kirtimalam pade pade notanayasya bhikshnam. So by having such a glorious hearer there, who is expressing so much enthusiasm to hear, you see the previous verses, 7th chapter verses, Durapahi Alpatapasa, Seva Vaikuntha Vartmasu, then what else? Yat Sevaya Bhagavataha Kotastasya Madhudvishaha. So all these beautiful verses in the previous chapter, 7th chapter, are expressing, are revealing Vidura's gratitude towards the speaker Maitreya. I am so grateful to you, right? That's by your mercy only I am able to understand the glories of Supreme Lord. So he was so dedicated in hearing, right? He was so loyal to the parampara. So that is inspiring Maitreya so much, right? That's why he is saying like that. So because of your enthusiasm, I am feeling that ecstasy in speaking. So whenever there is some Bhagavan Krishna Katha, it's not just the speaker, audience play a major role. It's also the responsibility of the audience to extract words from the speaker. If audience are like sleeping and when will this fellow end, so if they are in that mode, speaker will not feel the enthusiasm to speak unless he is so elevated that I don't mind who sits there. I'll close and then glorify Krishna. Close my eyes and glorify Krishna. That's one mode. But in general, for any discussion about Krishna to be very fruitful and attractive and exciting, the participation of both parties is very much needed. Right? Both should equally and enthusiastically participate, hearer and speaker. Right? So even in your Vidyapeet also, you will make the best when you show your enthusiasm. Definitely classes are there, speakers will come and many experienced teachers will come, they may share things. But unless you show that enthusiasm and susurushatamnu, eagerness to hear, you will not get so much. Right? So that is very important quality to cultivate. Pade pade notanayasya bhikshnam. I am always feeling the glories of the Supreme Lord to be very new and fresh because of having a enthusiastic hearer in front of me, he says. Right? Tadeva haram vadamanya sechet. What is that verse beginning? There is some other verse. Tadasya kausharava sarmadhatu hareh kathameva kathasudharam udhrutya pushpebhya iva artabandhu shivayana kirtaya tirtha kirtaya. Yeah, that is one verse which reveals Vidura's enthusiasm. It comes in 5th chapter. Right? There is Tadeva haram vadamanya sechet also somewhere it comes. Tadeva haram. Sets. So you just what to say, 10th canto. Oh, that is Nivritta, not Nivritta Darshe. Yat Srinvato Api Aratir Vitrishna. Right, that verse, correct. So there Parikshit Mara says, Tadeva Haram Vadamanya says that you just make a garland of the glories of Krishna, qualities of Krishna, and then give me. Right, I will honor it, he says. Something similar he is saying. Our Maitreya says here, what is this word? Pade pade notanayasya bhikshnam. Acharya has explained that part. He says, Vidura is making a garland of the glories of the Lord with the thread of his taste. That's why I remembered that Tadeva Haram. 10.7.2, right? 1 and 2 together. So Vidura is making a garland, right, of glories of the Lord by his enthusiasm, by his taste for hearing. He is showing so much enthusiasm to hear, and Maitreya is revealing one point. Means he is giving one flower. Right? It's going in the garland. He is showing more enthusiasm, he is getting one more flower. Right? He is showing more enthusiasm to hear, more questions, more inquiries, right? He's getting more and more flowers. So beautiful garland is getting ready. Right? That's what is happening. at every moment, abhikshanam, in every statement, on every occasion, pade pade, in every sentence, in every verse, in every chapter, you make a garland of the glories of the Lord. And that garland is ever fresh. It doesn't fade. Right? So that is the glory of the discussions about Krishna between such exalted devotees. Like that. Placing this garland within your ears and mind, not on the neck. Place the garland within your ears and mind, you make it eternally fresh. Your greatness cannot be expressed in words. So our Maitreya is telling Vidura like this, your greatness cannot be expressed in words because you are making the garland. All the flowers are supplied by him. Ultimately the garland, the flowers are extracted. Maitreya is made to supply those flowers by the enthusiasm of Vidura. So Vidura is playing a very important role. Although Bhishmeh, he is just asking few questions and then Maitreya is speaking. Over all two cantos, Maitreya spoke. Vidura has very few words, few verses. Maitreya has all the verses. Right? But those few verses that express, that reveal the enthusiasm and inquisitiveness of Vidura is making the manifestation of this whole two cantos possible. Like that. So there is equal participation between these two personalities. And we have a lot of lesson to learn from this. So Chakravarti Pada says, Vidura desired for Maitreya association. So we have references from 3.7.18 and 39, right, in the previous chapters. Right, Durapa Helpa Tapasa. What is 18th verse? 7th chapter, 18th verse is what? Yatsevaya Bhagavata. These numbers are different. What is 18th verse? Oh, Artha Bhavam Vinishtas. Here, I am obliged to you because now I understand that this material manifestation is without substance, although it appears real. I am confident that by serving your feet, I will be able to give up this false idea. Service to devotees, like Maitreya, so service to them, will reveal the proper understanding. So it's not that if you just sit with the book, you will understand things. Right? In Vidyapit, you may learn so many things, you will have a theoretical understanding at the max. So, right? In Vidyapit, you will study entire Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita in 2 years. By this, don't understand that you will master these books. At the max, you may know the expanse of this subject matter, but to know the depth of the subject matter, you need to serve the devotees. Only service will make the Bhagavatam philosophy understandable, not scholarship. So service is more emphasized than scholarship. Right? You understand this? So, an ocean is there or a river is there. It may be just spanning over so many acres of land, acres of area, something like that. The surface of the ocean may be very long. From this point till the other shore, this may be some thousands of kilometers, something like that. So you may understand the vastness of Bhagavatam. Oh, 335 chapters, 12 cantos, 18,000 verses. So like that, the expanse of Bhagavatam you may span through, but the depth of Bhagavatam will come only through service, right? All these theoretical points will convert into realization once you put them in practice and apply those principles while serving a pure devotee. So here the point is, Vidura is desiring for Maitreya's association. Right, in 3.7.18 and 39. These numbers are some Sanskrit numbers, man. I am unable to understand. What is 39th verse? Nimittani chatasyeha. Spotless devotees of the Lord have mentioned the source of such knowledge. How could one have knowledge of devotional service and detachment without the help of such devotees? You see, 3.7.39, I just read the translation. So, in Vidura's talks, at the end of these chapters, at the end of 7th chapter, he is emphasizing a lot on the importance of association of devotees like Maitreya. My understanding of Bhagavatam, or my advancement in devotional service, or my approach towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is very much dependent on your association, my dear Maitreya. That's how Vidura ended in the 7th chapter, right? Now in the 8th chapter beginning, Maitreya is responding to that. You are saying that my association is important for you, but my point is your association is important for me. You see, that's what he says. Satsevaniyo vatapurvamso yellokapalo bhagavat pradhanah. You people have served the Supreme Lord so much. Satsevaniyo vatapurvamso. All this Puru dynasty is very glorious and you have served the Lord so much. Right? You are all bhagavat pradhana. And your association is very important for me to make this subject matter of Krishna Katha pade pade notanayasya bhikshnam. So, but according to Maitreya, his getting Vidura's association is most rare. Earlier he said, Durapa hi alpatapasa, it's very difficult to get the association of a devotee like you, Vidura said. Now here, Maitreya is saying that your association is very rare. Only because you are sitting in front of me, I am speaking these two cantas. Otherwise, I am silent. Right? That is the gratitude. So speaker should feel grateful for the hearer, for the opportunity which was given to him for glorifying the Supreme Lord. Like that. Tolayam alavena api nasvarbham napunarbhavam. So now if one does not acknowledge the other party, basically Vidura and Maitreya are acknowledging each other's contribution for their advancement in Krishna consciousness. Vidura is strongly feeling that I am advancing in Krishna consciousness because of your association, and Maitreya is strongly feeling that he is advancing in Krishna consciousness because of Vidura's association. They are grateful to each other's contribution for their mutual advancement in Krishna consciousness. So many times we also do so many services and tendency is to take credit for what we do. But I am able to do this only because of so-and-so devotee or so-and-so devotees. Right? So I am grateful to them. So we need to acknowledge each other's contributions for our advancement. Without contribution or support or inspiration from the devotee community, one cannot alone advance in devotional service. Right? His advancement in devotional service is very much dependent on the association of the devotee community. He may be doing wonders in service, in his own assigned service, but ultimately it's all overall cumulative effect on him, the cumulative effect of the association on him. Overall the vibrations in the association of devotees and the whole system that is made, that is making him to do some wonder. Right? It's not like a standalone thing. A person who is standing outside, he may have all qualifications that a devotee who is inside the ashram or inside the devotee community, he may have same kind of abilities, but he will not be able to achieve this. But his achievement is totally dependent on the association. Like that. So just by serving persons associated with Vidura, bhakti to the Lord will rise. Maitreya rejoices praising Vidura. Right? Maitreya is rejoicing his praising of Vidura. It's not that he is having some choice words where he would have very selected words, right? I will glorify him only to this extent. If I say any word beyond this, he'll get more credit. So sometimes it happens, right? Right? We restrict our glorification of others also. Right? Arre, isse jyada bol diya to, he will get more credit. That is the insecurity feeling inside. Right? So, one thing is, a spiritual master, when he does it, if I glorify him beyond this extent, he'll become proud. He's caring for the disciples' consciousness, but amongst peers, right, there is kind of insecurity feeling. I want the credit. Why he wants the credit? Okay, I'll glorify him as a strategy or whatever, because that is the culture here. The culture is to glorify people. Or if I glorify him, he'll do my job later. So this kind of ulterior motives one may have even in glorifying devotees also. So the genuine appreciation from the heart will only make one advance in devotional service. If one genuinely appreciates another Vaishnava for what service he has done right from heart, then like that appreciation will attract lot of mercy of Supreme Lord. Right? Genuine appreciation. We are anyways appreciating. Why not genuinely? Why not from heart? Right? We can't stay we can't stay without appreciating devotees when we are in the association of devotees. At some point we have to appreciate. If you have absolutely no appreciation, if you don't do that at all, then we can't be around for long. Right? Okay, now, after glorifying Vidura, Maitreya is answering his question. 3.5.2. So what was the question that Maitreya, Vidura asked? Anyone remembers? 3.5.2. Sukhaya karmani. Right? Sukhaya karmani karoti loko natai sukham vanya duparamamva vindeta bhuya tata eva dukham. What is the last line? So 3.5.2. Sukhaya karmani, right? Oh, great, says, everyone in this world engages in fruitive activities to attain happiness. But one finds neither satiation nor mitigation of material desires. Mitigation of distress. He is finding happiness, but this fellow is not getting happiness. And he is hankering for happiness, and his desires for happiness are also not getting mitigated. He is neither getting satisfaction out of his endeavors, nor he is able to give up his desires for happiness. He is only ending up in frustration. Right? On the contrary, one is only aggravated by such activities. Please, therefore, give us the directions on how one should live for real happiness. So this was the question. Right? In 3.5.2. In 3.8.2, Maitreya Muni is answering this question. Soham runam kshulla sukhaya dukham mahadgatanam viramayatasya pravartaye bhagavatam puranam yadah sakshat bhagavan rishibhyah soham runam kshulla sukhaya dukham mahadgatanam viramayatasya puravartaye bhagavatam puranam yadah sakshat bhagavan rishibhyah. So what is the answer to that? My Vidura's question is, people are endeavoring so much for happiness, but they are only getting distress. So what is the solution? He is answering. Soham nadam kshulla sukhaya dukham. For kshulla sukha, very meager amount of happiness, very little. Dukham mahad. Kshulla sukhaya dukham mahad. So mahad dukham, they are undergoing tremendous amount of distress. For kshulla sukha, he is undergoing mahad dukham, tremendous amount of distress. Right? You just go early in the morning, right, to catch some local train or some bus to go to, you know, office, some company, whole day, some 9 hours, 10 hours you slog there, eating very little food, and then late night you come. Right? So the maximum happiness that he has is some sleeping in the night or some sex pleasure in the night. Whole day he is working so hard. For that kshulla sukha, he is undergoing mahadukham. Gatanam viramayatasya. So these people are endeavoring so much for little happiness. Viramayatasya, to give a pause to it. Not pause, to stop such a unnecessary endeavors for meager amount of happiness. Pravartaye Bhagavatam Puranam. Bhagavatam Puranam is spoken for that purpose. What is the purpose of Bhagavatam Puranam? Speaking of Bhagavatam Puranam, to stop the unnecessary endeavors of the human being, Ranam, unnecessary endeavors of human being for meager amount of happiness. for insignificant happiness. Right? Yadaha Sakshad Bhagavan Rishubhyaha. Sakshad Bhagavan, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Rishubhyaha. He spoke this to Rishis. Who are they? Four Kumaras. That story will come just now in the next few verses. So Lord Sankarshan spoke this Bhagavat Puran to four Kumaras. Right? Headed by Sanaka, Sanatan, Sanandan, Sanat Kumar. Right? Headed by Sanat Kumar. So he spoke to them. So that is the gist. Answer is in one line, the answer to the question is how can people end their suffering? Answer is by taking shelter of Bhagavatam. Right? Viramayata said to stop their suffering only I am speaking Bhagavatam. Take shelter of Bhagavatam. Then you will get all answers. All your sufferings will be mitigated. You understood? We'll memorize this verse. Soham Runam Kshulla Sukhaya Dukham. Mahadgatanam Viramayatasya. Pravartaye Bhagavatam Puranam. Yadaha Sakshad Bhagavan Rishibhyaha. Soham Runam Kshulla Sukhaya Dukham. Mahadgatanam Viramayatasya. Pravartaye Bhagavatam Puranam. Yadaha Sakshad Bhagavan Rishibhyaha. Yes, Mukundamala Prabhu. Again. Anyone else who has memorized already? No, already means like in this class.
Soham Nidam Kshula Sukhaya Dukham.
Soham Nidam Kshula Sukhaya Dukham.
Madgatanam Viramayatasya.
Madgatanam Viramayatasya.
Pravartaye Bhagavatam Puranam.
Pravartaye Bhagavatam Puranam.
Yadaha Sakshat Bhagavan Rishibhya.
Yadaha Sakshat Bhagavan Rishibhya.
So this is the answer. So in purport, Prabhupada says, Bhagavatam is especially compiled and traditionally comes down in disciplic succession for the solution of all problems of human society. Solution for all problems of human society is there in Bhagavatam. Right? So Krishna sadhamopagate dharma gnanadibhisata saha. So Krishna went back to his abode accompanied by dharma and jnana. So where will all the religious principles take shelter? Right? Take shelter of Bhagavatam. Right? What is the next lines in that verse? Kalau nashta drisham yesha purana arko dhunoditaha. So for the people, misguided people who lost their vision in Kali Yuga, for them answer is Bhagavatam. Right? Bhagavatam is like a sun that can diminish the darkness of the misguided minds of Kali Yuga people. Yetadhi adur chittana matra sparshechaya bhu bhavasindhu plavo drashto haricharya anvarnanam. So people are so much in anxiety. That verse is exactly similar to this verse, right? They are so much in anxiety because they are constantly endeavoring to bring their senses in contact with the sense objects. Right? What is the medium? What is the means of crossing this sense gratification ocean? Bhagavatam. So only one who is fortunate can have the opportunity to hear Bhagavatam in the association of pure devotees. You are all hearing Bhagavatam in the association of devotees who are trying to be pure, at least. Pure devotees are of two types. One is a pure devotee. Second, one who is trying to become a pure devotee. Right? So he will eventually become pure. So he is potentially a pure devotee. So you are all, this line is about you only. You are very fortunate to have an opportunity to hear Bhagavatam in the association of devotees. So Vidura got this opportunity at the end of his life. His whole life is spent in this Mahabharata, trying to convince Dhritarashtra. That fellow closed his eyes and then he closed his ears also. he would get such long, long classes throughout the night also. Sometimes Vidura would sit with Dhritarashtra and then tell him, oh, this is good, this is bad, they are not supposed to do this. If you do this, this is the result. So all these things he will explain, Vidura. Dhritarashtra will not pay any attention to all that. Right? So his whole life went like that. At the end of his life, he got the opportunity to hear Bhagavatam. Yamaraj was so much busy, taking call on which person has to be sent to which hellish planet. There are 26 types of hellish planets. Some say 28. Right? They are hellish planets, not just hells. It's not the 26 rooms. In each room there is little suffering. In this room you will be beaten by ants. In that room you will be beaten by some lizards. It's not like that. They are hellish planets. There are elaborate arrangements made in the hellish planets to give suffering to conditioned soul, sinful soul, who enters Yamalok. So Yamaraj was so much dealing with this. So he wanted a break. So Krishna wanted to give him a break to hear Bhagavatam. So he came down as Vidura. Okay, in the pretext of whatever, Mandava Vimani's curse and all, he ended up as Vidura. And even after coming into this earthly planet as Vidura also, he is not getting opportunity to hear Krishna Katha. He is constantly with Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana and party. Right, just witnessing the sufferings of Pandavas. Right, unable to do anything against the schemes of this Shakuni and Dushyasana and Duryodhana and Karna. Dushta Chatushtayam. Right, he was witnessing. Whole life he spent like that. At the end of his life, he got the opportunity to hear two cantos of Bhagavatam from Maitreya. At the beginning of your Brahmachari life, you are getting to hear 12 cantos of Bhagavatam. You are more fortunate. Right? Without any inquiries also. He is asking. So, you are more fortunate. So, unfortunate state of living entities. That is the theme of Prabhupada's, like one section of the purport. So, living entities are under the spell of material energy. They are entrapped in the bondage of many difficulties simply for the sake of little bit of material happiness. This is the unfortunate state. For example, I think Krishnanand Prabhu was giving this example. There is Rasgulla. You like Rasgulla? Right? You like Rasmalai? So if I give you, you will eat? Okay, I will give you, but I will charge 1 crore rupees for that one Rasgulla. Will you eat? No? Right? Similarly, there is happiness in this material world, no doubt. Sex pleasure or any other things. Watching a movie or just what else? Having some nice fragrance. Right? Or hearing some nice music. So all there is some pleasure, but it's not worth it. It's not worth to spend one human life to experience such a stupid happiness. When someone gets a human life, he is qualified to, or he deserves much, much better happiness. Not just hearing some pop music or just watching some stupid movie. They are all insignificant happiness. Just like if you have 1 crore rupees, you can do much more. You can buy a factory, sugar factory. Why you have to take some little sugar candy and pay 1 crore rupees? Similarly, with human form of life, you can go back to Godhead and enjoy unlimited happiness for the rest of eternity. Right? Why run after this meager amount of happiness which is available here and there? Right? In the material world, Kali Yuga. So that same thing. So ham pranam kshulla sukhaya dukkham mahad. Kshulla sukhaya mahad dukkham. Mahad dukkham, unlimited, tremendous amount of misery for kshulla sukha, meager amount of happiness. 1 crore rupees for 1 rasgulla. Is it a like good bargain? Absolutely not worth it. Similarly, 1 human life, which is like 1 crore rupees, for some insignificant sense gratification, which is like 1 sweet, like that. So human life, with human life, one can achieve much more. That's the point Prabhupada is making. So there's a false impression that body is the self, and people will foolishly relate to so many false attachments. So the solution to all this, as Bhagavatam repeatedly emphasizes, is hearing Bhagavatam. Hearing Bhagavatam is the solution. coming in contact with book Bhagavatam and devotee Bhagavata, who knows what Bhagavatam is, then such a fortunate man gets out of material entanglement. How to get out of this Kshulla Sukham and Mahat Dukham? By hearing Bhagavatam. That is the simple solution. Right? So, yeah, there are so many other things. So why this hearing is so much emphasized? What is the glory of this hearing? You are not doing anything substantial just by hearing. Right? What makes hearing so important? How can hearing Bhagavatam be the solution to all problems? Is it not theoretical? Is it not over-exaggerating? Any insights? Yes, Simachalam Prabhu. In short, can you give an answer? It's a very brilliant example from the fifth canto, first chapter. One purport Prabhupada writes, by taking initiation from a spiritual master and following his instructions, one's body changes. How one's body changes? Basically, this gross body is a medium through which the subtle body acts. My mind is desiring to eat something, my hand will go there and then pick up that thing and then eat. Okay, my mind is desiring to see something and then my legs will take me to some beautiful scenery or some movie theater or something so that I can see things. So this gross body is a subservient of the subtle body's desires. But when we take initiation from a spiritual master and follow his instructions, right, we are training our subtle body to follow the superior instructions of a spiritual master. So subtle body is changing. So gross body is just a detail. It is just a manifestation of the desires of subtle body. So because the subtle body is changing, gross body will also change. Gross body is changing. It's as good as acting as a spiritual body. And it's just a matter of time that after a few years, once this life ends, then one will no more get a gross body, gross material body. He will get a spiritual body in that sense. Anyways, I said, following the instructions of spiritual master also means that hearing process, as you said. Actually, there are three things. I think Chaitanya Charan Prabhu says, oral reception, sensual perception, and devotional contemplation. Three things are there. Oral reception means what we hear from bona fide sources. Then sense perception means what we see with our eyes, with our other things, other senses. So if our oral reception is proper, for example, if we have the knowledge or information coming from a bona fide sources, right? For example, I hear about the beautiful form of Radha and Krishna, right? Their qualities or their glories, right? Their pastimes, etc. So that is oral reception. Then when I go in front of Radha Vrindavan Vihari and take darshan, my darshan or my vision is tainted with the understanding of what I heard. So that our sense perception can be more effective if we have the backup of oral reception. If our oral reception is proper, then our sense perception is more fruitful and more purposeful, right? More revealing the truth. If I just don't hear anything about Radha Krishna, right, I have absolutely no knowledge about the Krishna, so then I go in front of deity of the Supreme Lord Krishna and then I will understand, oh, he's a beautiful boy. At the max I will appreciate his beauty if I have some taste. Okay, otherwise he's another doll, like that. Why his leg is crossed? Why can't he stand straight? So that kind of explanation may come. Someone who has no knowledge about Krishna at all. Right? That's why oral reception is more important. That is the beginning for an effective sense perception. Once these two are in place, once mainly oral reception is in place, then that our sense perception will lead to devotional contemplation. Now you go outside, say Bombay, you will see all the industries, this and that. There are a lot of atmosphere there, surcharged with mode of passion. and you have oral reception here. That sense perception in Bombay, you will see that in the vision of this oral reception. Okay, we will see how these people are in mode of passion, and then they forgot the goal of life, how to transform them or how to educate them in spiritual consciousness and all that. Those your thoughts will be like that, right? So your sense perception will become effective by oral reception. Then finally that will lead to devotional contemplation. My darshan of the deities will lead to devotional contemplation if I have sufficient oral reception. Otherwise things will become into mental speculation mode. Like that. That's why hearing is the key. In our life we will see so many things. We will come in contact with so many people, so many objects. All those interactions will become effective if we hear Bhagavatam. Right, if we have Shastra Chakshu, we will have right perspective towards things and objects and people of this world. So that's why hearing is the solution. How can just hearing will solve all my problems? Problem is in the mind, right, by having wrong perceptions. How will we have right perceptions? Through the light of Bhagavatam. Like that.
You mean like hearing and actually understanding them?
Huh? That's what I said, na? You will span the expanse of the ocean of Bhagavatam, but the depth will come by service. Along with hearing, there should be service also. What is that verse? The next verse. In the 7th chapter only, or 5th chapter. Kim va punastat charanaravinda paraga seva ratiratma labdha. How does it begin? Ashesh sankleesha samam vidhatte gunanuvada sravanam murare. So sravanam murare, if you hear the glories of the Supreme Lord, ashesh sankleesha samam vidhatte, it is like subduing the unlimited miseries in this material world. Kimva punastat charanaravinda paraga seva ratiratma labdha. If one develops a taste for serving the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, what to speak of that? Service is much more superior to hearing also, right? So hearing is at one level, which is very much important. That is the basic, that is unavoidable, that is a mandatory item in our devotional service. So the effectiveness of hearing is seen by your enthusiasm in service. How eager are you to serve, right? If you just keep on hearing, oh, this person is like this person is like that, Supreme Lord, okay, he is bluish, you hear so many glories of that person. Ultimately, you should feel inspiration to serve that such a person. Right? That is one step ahead. So, my point to your question is, we'll assimilate what we have heard when we serve. Right? Our understanding of what we have heard deepens in our service. Our theoretical understanding will convert into realization only through devotional service. Make sense? Okay, next verse.
Asinam urvyam bhagavantam adyam sankarshanam devam akunthasattvam vivitsavastattvamatah parasyam kumaramukhya munayonva pruchyan.
So Asina Murvyam Bhagavanta Madhyam. So the Supreme Lord Sankarshan, he is situated at the bottom of the universe. How it is, you will understand in the 5th canto when you read the structure of the universe, right? So Sankarshan is holding all the universes on his hoods. So he is there below the universe. How exactly he is holding and all details, it's beyond our comprehension. If the universe is like a small mustard seed on his head, and within that universe we are in such an insignificant planet, and within that planet we are such an insignificant personality, we occupy such a very less space in the cosmos, we occupy such an insignificant space, amount of space in the cosmos, and our whole human life will occupy such an insignificant time frame in the eternity, right? We are so insignificant, that much you can understand. So Sankarshan was there, so all the four Kumaras went there. Okay, Sanat Kumar. Swameva dhishnyam bahumanayantam yadvasudeva abhidamamananti pratyagdhrta dhrtaksham bhujakoshamishad unmilayantam vibudhodayaya. So Sanat Kumar went there and asked some relevant questions, and Lord Sankarshan is beginning to answer. Right. So this is the parampara of Kumara Sampradaya. Lord Sankarshan spoke to Kumaras, and from Kumaras the whole line came. So we have four Sampradayas, right? So this chapter will reveal the Kumara Sampradaya. So how did these people came there, sages? Came to Sankarshan, that is explained in the fifth verse. Svardhyunvidarai hi svajata kala svajata kalapair Svardhyunvidarai hi svajata kalapair Upasprishantas charanopadhanam Padmam yadarchantya hi raja kanya Sapremanana balibhir viratha Varartha.
The sages came from the highest planet down to the lower region to the water of Ganges. Therefore, the hair on their heads was wet. They touched the lotus feet of the Lord, which were worshipped with the various paraphernalia by the daughters of the serpent king with the desire.
So how did these devotees come to Sankarshan? So Mother Ganges will flow from the topmost planet, topmost regions of the universe, like Satyaloka, till the lower regions. So by their mystic power or their advancement, okay, in consciousness, such sages can just dip in the Ganges water in the top planet, and they'll end up in some other planet also. Right? That's why when they approached Sankarshan, their hairs were wet with the water of Ganga. So from top planet, they came down to this Patala. Right? Lower region. From Satyaloka to Patala Loka, they traveled through the medium of water of Ganges. Like that. So they came there and they touched the lotus feet of the Lord. So Prabhupada speaks about Ganga. Ganga is coming from the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, and its course is from highest planet to the lower planet of the universe. Sadhyah punati sahachandra lalama lokan. Where does it come? Yesham bibharmyaka mahamakunta vikunta yoga. This is 3.16. When this four Kumaras only again. In third canto, 15th chapter actually, four Kumaras go there. And then curse Jay and Vijay, right? That is the chapter happening in the morning Bhagavatam classes. So in the next chapter, Lord will come, right, and beg forgiveness. And then he says, the water that washed my lotus feet is so glorious only because of my service to Brahmanas like you. So in that context, Lord says, Sadhyah punati sahachandra lalama lokan. So the water washed my lotus feet, that is Ganga, will purify all the three planetary systems along with Lord Shiva, who is already pure. Right? Yes, Yatsaucha Nishrita Sarit Pravaroda Gena Tirthena Mudnyadhikritena Shiva Shiva Bhut. So Lord Shiva is considered to be extremely auspicious. He will become all the more auspicious when he takes the water that washes the lotus feet of the Lord on his head. Ganges will purify Shiva also. Okay? So that is the glory of Ganga. So it Ganga basically flows from the upper planetary system to lower planetary system, incubating all the three planets. So four Kumaras came from Satyaloka, and the transportation is by mystic yoga, not by train or helicopter or some other means. So hair became wet, and by taking bath in Ganga, one's sins will be washed away. So these are few things that Prabhupada says, but one has to guard himself from committing further more sins. I have taken bath in Ganga, now I can commit more sin. Then again I'll come and take bath in Ganga. That will be like confession. What is that? Confession? What is that called? Confession. Oh, church mein hota hai na? That thing. Elephant bath in our times. That is like elephant bath. Next verse, sixth verse. Muhur grananto vachasan uraga. स्खलत्पदेनास्य कृतानि तज्ञाः किरीटसाहस्रमणिप्रवेक प्रद्योतितोद्दामफणासहस्रम्. So muhur grananto vachasanu raga. So these people, Sankarshan and all, the Sanat Kumar, so they started glorifying the Lord. Right? They knew the pastimes of the Lord and they glorified the Lord in rhythmic accents with selected words, with full of affection and love. Muhur grananto vachasa anuraga. In their glorification, anuraga is seen, not some ulterior motive, okay, not some other agenda. So the glorification, when it comes right from the heart, this is what I was telling sometime back, right? Which is full of affection and love. Muhur grananto vachasa anuraga skhalat padena asyakatani dagna kirita sahasra mani praveka. And Lord Sankarshan, he has kirita sahasra, thousands of kiritas, mukuts. One person will have one mukut, but he has thousands of foots, he'll have thousands of mukuts. You see on Isopanishad, in a cover page also there is so many, you will see so many mukuts on the hoods, different hoods of Sankarshan. Right? He began to radiate an effulgence from the glowing stones on his head. Pradyoti taddama fana sahasram. He has fana sahasram, he has kirita sahasram. Fana is hoods. He has thousands of hoods, he'll have thousands of kiritas, and on those hoods there are some manis also, from them effulgence is also coming, like that. So uttama shloka means one who is worshipped with select words by his devotees. Here the Kumaras are glorifying the Supreme Lord with select words, vachasa, and with affection, anuraga. So because the Lord is glorified by his devotees like this, he is also called Uttama Shloka. Prabhupada is giving one name there. A profusion of such selected words comes from a devotee who is fully absorbed in affection and love for the devotional service of the Lord. Even a small boy or animal also can do it. Hastinapur ladies, what is that? Anyonyam asit sanjalpa Uttama Shloka Chetasa Kauravendra Purastrinam Sarva Sruti Manoharam. When someone with great affection and love speaks few words about Krishna in his glorification, in appreciating Krishna, they become much more pleasing than the Vedic hymns. Right? Sarva Sruti Manoharam. All Shrutis may glorify the Lord, but someone very innocently with great affection in the heart speaks a simple word which is not a very great eloquent poetry, or it's not very great in chandas, right? Or he may not have very good vocabulary. Still, that is more attractive. Sarva Sruti Manoharam. More attractive than the Vedic hymns. Where does it come? Where does this verse come? Yes, beauty, let him say. Where does this verse come? Krishna is leaving Hastinapur. Right, all the ladies of Hastinapur are glorifying Krishna and his beauty. So at that time, Anyonya Masit Sanjalpa Uttama Shloka Chetasam. Their Chetasa, Chetana is focused on Uttama Shloka. So that's why this is their Sarva Shruti Manoharam. Without development of fine affection and love, one cannot offer prayers to the Lord very suitably. One may offer prayers, but at our stage, in our neophyte stage of devotional service, we may just repeat the prayers of acharyas, or at the max, we can offer our own prayer in our broken words with whatever language we know. Right? That also Krishna mercifully accepts. But the main element in praise or prayer is affection and love, anuraga. Our vachasa should be filled with anuraga. That is the ideal standard for offering praise to the Supreme Lord. Proktam kilaitad bhagavattamena nivritti dharma bhiratayatena sanat kumara yasascha haprishta sankhyayanayanga dhrita vrataya. Okay. So Sankarshan spoke to Sanat Kumar. Sanat Kumar spoke to Sankhyayana Muni. This is the parampara. So this is like Kumara Sampradaya. So parampara system. Prabhupada emphasizes on parampara system only. Bhagavat Tama means the best of the devotees who have knowledge concerning the creation of universe. Here Sanat Kumar is a great saint. So he has heard Bhagavatam from whom? Sankarshan. Sanat Kumar heard from Sankarshan. So that is the parampara. Sukadeva Goswami heard from Vyasdev. Parikshit Maharaj heard from Sukadeva Goswami. Then Devahuti heard from Kapila. That will come in third canto. Then Chitraketa even heard from Harshasoka. Right? Prithu Maharaj heard from four Kumaras. Then Prahlad Maharaj heard from Avadhuta, Avadhut Brahman in this seventh canto. So there are so many instances where pure Krishna Katha is spoken by a speaker to a hearer. That is all Bhagavatam only. Like that. Although Prahlad Maharaj was speaking so much Bhagavatam, Hiranyakashipu didn't hear. That is not parampara. In the parampara, Prahlad Maharaj parampara. One acharya is Hiranyakashipu. That doesn't come right. So to be in the line of acharya in the parampara, we have to hear and follow. Okay? Like that. So in devotional service, out of nine, hearing and chanting are most important. Without hearing, how can one preach? So, like to say something to someone, for example, here Sanat Kumar is speaking to Sankhyayana Muni, right? How he is speaking? Based on what he has heard from Sankarshan. Similarly, when we are speaking to outside people who may not be the practitioners of Krishna consciousness now, we should make sure that we are speaking from Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita or bona fide sources, what Prabhupada has said, what acharyas have said. Then we are in parampara. Definitely there is a scope to present the essential subject matter in a form that is acceptable to the audience. Right? That is definitely there, that is needed according to the contemporary audience. But ultimately the essence has to come in the line of parampara. Okay? Otherwise, that is a speculation only. Okay, next verse. Sankhyayana paramahamsa mukhyo vivakshamano bhagavad vibhutihi jagadasosmad gurave nivtaya parasharayatha bruhaspatescha.
So happened that Maharshi Parashara, Brahmaputra,
So now Sankhyayan started speaking. So he spoke to Parashar Muni and Brihaspati, two people. Sankarshan, then Sanat Kumar, then Sankhyayan Muni, from him Parashar and Brihaspati. So this is the line. So now Parashar, out of those two, Parashar and Brihaspati, Parashar started continuing the parampara. Parashar spoke to Maitreya and Maitreya is now speaking to Vidura. Right? That is explained in the 9th verse. Provacha mahiyam sadayalurukto munih pulastiyena purana madhyam soham tavaitad kathayami vatsa Shraddhalave nityamanuvrataya.
The great sage Parashar, as aforementioned, being so advised by the great sage Pulastya, spoke unto me the foremost of the Puranas, Bhagavata. I shall also describe this before you, my dear son, in terms of my hearing, because you are always my faithful father.
Pravoja mahiyam sadayalu rupto munih pulastiyena purana madhyam. So this Parashar Muni, so Dayalur Ukto, he very mercifully, he spoke this to me, right? So the great sage Parashara, being so advised by the great sage Pulastya, spoke unto me, foremost of the Puranas. Puranam Adhyam, Muni Pulastyena Puranam Adhyam. Parashara spoke to Maitreya Muni, because of the advice of Pulastya. Right? What he spoke? Purana Madhyam. Why he spoke? Sa Dayalu Rukto. He is very compassionate. Right? That's why. Now, Soham Tavaitat Kathayami Vatsa. Vatsa means it's a very affectionate addressing. Okay, my dear boy, like that. Okay? So, Soham Tavaitat Kathayami Vatsa, O my dear Vidura, I will speak the same thing, whatever I have learned from Parashara Muni, right? I will speak the same thing to you, because Shraddhalave Nityam Anuvrataya. What are your qualities to learn this? Why am I speaking to you? You have the qualities to continue the parampara. You have the qualities to receive this knowledge in parampara. What are the qualities? Shraddhalave. You are very faithful. Then Anuvrataya. You are very submissive. Faith and submissiveness, these two are the qualities of Vidura for receiving Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? That's why I'm speaking to you. Soham tavaitat kathayami vatsa shraddhalave nityamanuvrataya. And what is spoken to him? Puranamadhyam Bhagavatam. Right? So shraddhalave means faith is very important. So, faith is the first qualification, or the first stage in devotional service. Adho shraddha, tada sadhu sangha, bhajana kriya, anartha nivruti, etc., etc. Right? It all begins with shraddha. Now, it's not that you are done with, he is an authority. Madhuri Kadambini. One full book presented in half an hour. Not half an hour, 40 minutes. Right? He was ringing bell, right? You are ringing well, right? When you are speaking. So he is oblivious. He will continue. Katha will continue. May you ring the bell. So, yeah. It begins with Shraddha. So, it's not that when you are done with Shraddha, you will enter the next stage. Sadhu Sangha. Right? You have developed 100% Shraddha. Now, let me begin with the second stage. Sadhu Sangha. You are done with 100% Sadhu Sangha. Then I will go to the third stage, Bhajana Kriya. Not like that. You will begin with little Shraddha. You will enter the second stage of Sadhu Sangha. Right? You will enter the third stage also of Bhajana Kriya. As you are entering the upper stages, your lower stages will get broadened. When you begin with Shraddha, your Shraddha is this much. When you enter Sadhu Sangha, Shraddha will become like this. When you enter Bhajana Kriya, Shraddha will become like this. It's like a pyramid. Right? So the bottom part is very big. Right? Once you reach the peak. But when the peak is like down, so your bottom part is very small. So for a very advanced devotee, he has unlimited faith, Shraddha. His faith is very vast. For a small devotee, who may be at the stage of Bhajana Kriya and Anartha Nivruti, many people are stuck up in Anartha Nivruti stage. Okay, he may be there, but his faith is very small compared to someone who crosses the stages. So along with the advancement, the bottom stages will broaden, right? Will become widen. Shraddha is very important. It's the beginning. Little Shraddha. Then Anuvrataya, submissiveness. So when will this question of submissiveness comes? As long as the instructions that you are receiving are favorable to your mindset and you are nicely, very gratefully accepting, submissively accepting, that kind of submissiveness is not very much appreciated. It is very good, but how eager are you to receive something which will not match your mindset? Are you eager? Are you submissive enough to receive something or execute something although it doesn't match your thought process? There are two things here. One is skill set. You may not have the skill. Right? For example, I ask someone to make a video. Right? Simhachalam Prabhu or who is Rasanand Prabhu may make. Someone who is searching where is A, where is B, where is C in the keyboard, what video he will make. So that is a skill set part. So I am not speaking about the skill set. So your inability to perform some service, if the reason for that is the lack of resources, lack of manpower, lack of strength, lack of skill set, lack of health, or those things are there, that's a different thing. I am speaking about the willingness part. So this submissiveness includes a willingness to accept whatever comes from the parampara. Right? Are you doubting the instructions of the acharyas? Are you doubting the explanations of the acharyas? Right? Am I submissive enough to accept their ideas even if they are not fitting into my mindset, or like I'm not very comfortable seeing that? Am I having full faith on what they say? Or if it is related to service, so they are giving some service, am I willing to accept this service? Or am I saying no because I don't want to do it? I have some other agendas. So submissiveness, anuvrataya, following the instructions received by the superiors. These are the important qualities for us to assimilate Bhagavatam. As you said, as you asked, I am reading, but I am how to understand it. This is the key. Right? Following the instructions received by the superiors. So this Shraddha and Anuvrataya, these are the qualities for the assimilation of Bhagavatam. Right? Any person, just because you know English, it doesn't mean you will understand Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam may be presented in English or Oriya or Marathi or Hindi. You may know the language, but just language is not the qualification for understanding the subject matter. Like that. Okay. Now, there is a little story about Parashar Muni and Pulastya Rishi. So Pulastya is the father of demons, demoniac descendants. Ravana also comes in that line only. So Pulastya is like that. So some demon killed Parashara's father. So Parashar Muni, his father is killed by some demon. So Parashara did a sacrifice to kill the demons, to burn all the demons to death. Right? So Vasishta came and requested Parashar Muni, please stop. Don't do that. One demon must have killed your father. That doesn't mean you will kill all the demons. So relax. Then Parashar Muni stopped. Parashar Muni stopped out of respect for Vasishta's words. Parashar Muni stopped with forgiveness on the offenders. Respect to the words of a superior and forgiving a miscreant. These two qualities Parashar Muni exhibited. Then Pulastya Muni came there and then said, because you have exhibited these qualities of Brahminical forgiveness and respect, I bless you that the glorious message of Bhagavatam will be delivered from you. Okay, you will be one of the persons through whom Bhagavatam will come. Right, you would be a great speaker on the Puranas. He blessed him like that. That's why Parashar Muni became a great speaker of Bhagavatam, and Maitreya Muni learned Bhagavatam from Parashar Muni, and now he is speaking to Vidura. The story is there, clear? So one may forgive, apparently. Forgiveness is very deep. One may forgive someone apparently, right, still holding grudge inside. Forgiveness has to be with a very clean heart, without any, forgiveness means you have forgiven somebody, means you don't hold any malice towards that person anymore. That is like deep forgiveness. Right, forgiveness, okay, yeah, okay, job. So that's at one level. At least that much you are doing, that is fine. Like that. Now, through this whole section, we need to understand that Bhagavatam did not manifest just 5,000 years back. The meeting between Parikshit Maharaj and Sukadeva Goswami must have happened 5,000 years back, but Bhagavatam is existing since time immemorial. Sankarshan spoke to Sanat Kumar, and he spoke to Sankhyayan Muni, right? And Sankhyayan Muni spoke to Parashar Muni, Parashar spoke to Maitreya, Maitreya spoke to Vidura. When did this happen? Before 5,000 years ago, right? Much, much before 5,000 years ago. So there is no beginning for this Puran. There is no beginning for Bhagavatam. It is existing since time immemorial. Like that. So-called historians calculate Puranas to be only some few hundred years old. But factually, Puranas existed since time immemorial. Like that. So now, after explaining the solution for the problems of people in the second verse, and after explaining the descent of this narration of Bhagavatam, the whole parampara of Bhagavatam, now Maitreya Muni is starting to answer the other questions. He will begin with the periodic destruction that happens at the night of Brahma. That is there from the 10th verse. We will do it after a break. Hare Krishna. So we will begin. So from 10th verse onwards, 10 till 23, we have this reawakening of creation. So Brahmaji's appearance and his bewilderment, and then search and vision of the Supreme Lord, all these are discussed now. Right. It is like some day of Brahma. So in the night of Brahma, there is a dissolution. So at the end of the night, the universe has to be reawakened. The whole creation has to just again come back into action. So that instance is discussed here. Okay, 3.8.10. Udaplutam vishwamidam tadasid. Yannidrayami litadrunyamilat. Ahindratalpe dhishayana eka. Kritakshana svatmaratau niriha. So at that time, when three worlds were submerged in water, means, as I just said, at the end of the night of Brahma, means like the day will begin, means the creation has to be reawakened. At every night there is a dissolution, there is a partial dissolution, it's not complete dissolution, and the complete dissolution of the entire cosmos will happen at the end of the life of Brahma, 100 years of Brahma, correct, like that. So this is partial dissolution case, what is described here. So Lord was lying there on the, his Sesha bed, right, great snake Ananta, that is his bed. If someone is claiming to be God, you can ask him to sleep on a snake, right? You just take some snakes and crabs and ask him to sleep here. It is also said that the snake's body is very cold. Right? Or if someone is claiming God, you just give him some 4 or 5 monkeys and ask him to handle. Lord Ram handled how many monkeys? Oga, Maha Oga, Samudra, Maha Samudra, Padma, Maha Padma. There's a long list in Ramayana. Just give him few monkeys. Let's see how comfortable he will be. Let him eat a meal with a monkey. Forget about having some creative work. Substantial work done through monkey. Okay. So the Lord is lying on the this snake bed on Garbhodaka ocean with his eyes closed, but were not completely closed. Right? Kritakshanaha Svatmaratau Nirihaha. This important word. Svatmaratau. Lord takes pleasure in his own self. Svatmarata. Svatman rate khidyati dhir vidamiha. We just read it. How does the verse begin? Madha Prem Rupa. Sridharani Mahaprabhu, how does the verse begin? Svatman rate khidyati dhir vidamiha. Rasananda Krishna Prabhu. It is about Krishna. Karmanyanihasya bhavo abhavasyate Durgashrayothari bhayatpalayanam karatmanoyat pramadayajnachashamah. Svatman rate, same thing is coming here. Svatmaratav, niriha means no work to do. Right? Or niriha, here Prabhupada translates it as free from action of external energy. Right? So Lord is eternally enjoying transcendental bliss by internal potency, svatmaratav. Whereas external potency is suspended during the time of dissolution of cosmic manifestation. Means, Lord has different energies, spiritual energy and material energy. So Lord is constantly enjoying in bliss with his internal potency, spiritual energy. This whole material cosmos is manifestation of his external energy. At the time of dissolution, that external energy is inactive in the Lord. Right? So that's what is happening. Now Lord wants to reawaken that. Okay? And even in Mahavishnu's creation thing also, it is said that Lord has different wives, just like a husband would wake up a sleeping wife so that they can enjoy. Similarly, Lord's external energy was sleeping and Lord would awaken that wife. Oh, get up. Okay? Get into action. Okay? We can have pleasure. So like that, he would wake up his external energy. Same thing will happen here also. Now, so this partial dissolution at the night of Brahma happens by Lord's will, and he inspired his Shakti of time and destroys the gross bodies of jivas, demigods and human beings, etc. And who are populating the whole creation, the three worlds, and then places their subtle bodies within his body. What happens at the time of the night of Brahma is all these demigods or human beings or all the living entities, their subtle bodies gets merged into the body of Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu. Right? When the reawakening of creation takes place, they will come out. And by Brahma's creation, they will again be given bodies according to their previous inclinations. That will happen. So now, the stage, at this stage of the reawakening of creation, all the living entities are merged within the body of Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu. Okay, that is the transition or the link between the 10th and 11th verses. So 11th verses. Sonta sharirer pita bhuta sukshma kalatmikam shakti mudira yana uvasatasmin salile padesve yathanalo daruni ruddha virya. So with all the subtle bodies of the living entities merged within him, Lord is lying on the Garbhodaka ocean, like that. So after the three worlds, upper, lower and middle planetary systems merged into the water of dissolution, all the living entities in the subtle bodies, they merged into the Lord. So when Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, what is that? Mamaivamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. So all these living entities are my amshas. Mama eva amsha jivaloki. He says like that. But when he speaks about the external energy, so this is marginal energy. External energy is Bhumirapo Anado Vayu Khammano Buddhi Revacha Ahankara Iti Yamme Bhinna Prakriti Rashtada. It is my Bhinna Prakriti, it is my separated energy. When he speaks about living entity, he says, he is Mama Eva Amshu. So Lord's affection for the living entity, his, the Jiva, the part and parcel Jiva, is shown. Right? Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. But as far as material energy, external energy is concerned, Lord is not very much excited saying that. It is Bhinna Prakriti Rashtada. It is my separated energy. Why am I maintaining it? Only because some few souls, Mama Evam Sho Jiva Loke, some Jivas who are my part and parcels are enjoying, are desiring to enjoy that energy, leaving my spiritual energy. I have spiritual energy, I have material energy, right? And I have marginal energy. This marginal fellow is not taking care of spiritual energy, he is not happy with the spiritual energy, he is desiring some material energy in external potency. That's why I am maintaining it. Otherwise, I am not liking that so much. Like that. Otherwise, it is my separated energy, Bhinna Prakriti. So now, all these elements, right, earth, water, fire, air, everything, all of that, them are merging into the water of dissolution. But the living entities are merging into the body of Garbhodak Sai Vishnu. Right? That's what is happening in partial dissolution. So gross bodies are unmanifest, subtle bodies existed. Gross bodies is made of earth, water, fire, air, ether. All of them are merging, the all elements are merged into the water of dissolution. But the subtle bodies means the soul along with his desires, his mind, intelligence and ego. Right? Along with his mental disposition and intellectual advancement and then egoistic tendencies, all of them merged into the body of Mahavishnu, Garbhodak Sai Vishnu, second Purusha, right? So this is at the stage of partial dissolution. How long did the Lord rest like that? What happened at reawakening? That is I mentioned in 12th verse. Chaturyugantam cha sahasramapsu swapan Svayodhi Ritaya Svashaktya Kalakhyayasa Aditakarma Tantro Lokan Apitan Dadrisheswa Dehe.
The Lord laid down for 4,000 yuga cycles.
Actually 4,000 yugas or 1,000 yuga cycles. Chatur yuga is like one yoga cycle. Cha sahasram apsu. Sahasram is 1,000 yoga cycles. Yeah.
The Lord laid down for 4,000 yugas in his internal potency. And by his internal energy, he appeared to be slipping within the water. When the living entities were coming out for further development of their fruity activities, actuated by the energy called Kagashakti, he saw his transcendental body as a bluish.
Actually, Lord's body is bluish only. But the explanation given by Acharyas in this context is Lord's body appeared bluish because of the sense gratificatory desires or the polluted desires of the living entities who merged in his body. That's why his body is appearing bluish. That is one explanation given by Acharyas. So Lord was already active with respect to internal potency. Now he is regaining activity with respect to living entities under external potency. So now Shaktiman and Shaktis, right? Lord is the Shaktiman and his internal energy and external energy are his Shaktis. So Lord is active with his this Shakti, with his internal energy Shakti. So his external energy also will get activated. For example, yesterday Yaduvar Prabhu was active with his speaking Shakti. Today he is active with his hearing Shakti. Right? He has potency to hear, he has potency to speak also. Yesterday he exhibited one potency, today he is exhibiting another potency. Right? Sometimes he may exhibit simultaneously both potencies. He'll hear and beech mein kuch bolte. So that also may happen. Right? So Lord's internal energy is always active. It never goes into sleep mode, no hibernate. It's a constant. Constant bliss is going on in spiritual world, right? Even if when Lord expands as Purushavatars in the material world also, he may be apparently in Yoga Nidra, but internally he is in spiritual bliss. So Lord looked upon the living entities. from Brahma to all, you know, non-moving entities and lokas and all that, right? So now they will reawaken. So this all happens by the, this is a symptom of the influence of Kala Shakti. So one who has to work in material world for fruitive results. The symptom of Kala Shakti is people will work for fruitive results, right? So now 13th verse. Tasyartha sukshma bhinivishta drishter antargatortho rajasataniyan gunena kalanugatena viddha sushyam stadabhidyata nabhideshat.
Agitated by the material modes of passion, and as a subtle form of creation pierced through its abdomen.
Correct. So all this was lying inactive, merged into the body of Vishnu, all the living entities and other things. So they merged. Now Lord glanced upon them. Lord fixed his attention on them. Right? After 1000 yuga cycles. So when he once fixed, then they again started becoming active. So all that subtle form, the subtle form that Prabhupada is speaking about here, because it was agitated by the mode of passion, the subtle form of creation, which is basically containing the karma of all living entities, the subtle form which is merged into the Lord's body, is just a combined karma of all living entities. Right? How does it look like? Don't ask me. I don't know. I never saw. Right? How the aggregate karma of all living entities look like when it merges into the Lord's body? I'm not sure. Right? It looks like a square or circle or that all, we don't know. So it is there. So Lord fixed his attention on it. Like Lord glanced on the subtle bodies within his body. And the elements within him in subtle state are agitated by mode of passion in obedience to time. He took birth and sprouted from his navel. So in the form of a lotus. That is explained in the 14th verse. Sapadma kosha sahasodatishtat kalena karma pratibodhanena svarochishatat sarilam vishalam vidyotayan arka ivatma yonihi. Okay. So the waters of devastation are drying up now. So the subtle form is basically the universal form. The lotus is representing the universal form. It basically got amalgamated in the Lord in the previous universal inhalation. Now in the next creation, it is coming in the form of a lotus. The whole form is getting manifested again. So now what happens next? Brahma takes birth. So from 15th to 17th verse, he is speaking about Brahma's... Actually, after his night, he will reawaken. The reawakening of Brahma is considered his, again, his another birth in this context. So partial dissolutions are also the topmost planets will not get annihilated, and one reference says that, right? When this lotus is coming sprouting, I'm not sure exactly how it happens in the topmost the topmost three planets, right? What's the activity going on there during this 1000 yuga cycles of the night of Brahma? I'm not very sure. But Brahma is taking birth again means he's not taking birth here. He's like reawakening only. The same Brahma. The Brahma is again starting his activities. So at the end of his previous day, he merged into the body of Vishnu, and then he is again taking birth. Taking birth means he is bringing his another day. Like that. So takes birth, it's just mentioned like this. Here birth is not the beginning. Here birth is the beginning of next creation. Like that. And in the another day of Brahma. Yes, Prabhu. Yeah, that is a popular understanding that the top three planetary systems will not submerge, right? So when it is said that three worlds were submerged, which portion of that, right, three worlds is submerging, like, yeah, Bhur Bhuva Svaha. So beyond that may not be included in this word, the terminology three worlds. Right, when you say three worlds, you need not include those things here. Partial dissolution. You read it exactly from authentic sources. If you read like that somewhere, then you let me know. Show me the reference. Talloka Padmam Sau Eva Vishnu Pravivichat Sarva Gunava Bhasam Tasmin Swayam Veda Mayo Vidhata Svayambhuvam yam Svayambhuyam sma vadanti sobhut.
Into that universe, Lord Vishnu personally entered as a super soul. And when it was thus impregnated with all the modes of mental nature, the personality of Vedic wisdom, whom we call the Self God, was generated.
So, this universal lotus flower, it's coming out, and it is mentioned that Lord Vishnu personally entered as super soul. So this super soul is Kshirodaksha Vishnu, right? He enters. Kshirodaksha Vishnu enters into all the elements of the universe, while Garbhodaksha Vishnu is living on the Garbhodaksha waters. That's one point. His super soul, he's entering the lotus, means he's entering as super soul of all living entities, entering into the lotus, like that. And when it was thus impregnated with all modes of material nature, the personality of wisdom, Brahma, self-born, who has no material father, was generated. Mother Lakshmi happens to be the mother of Brahma, not because she gives birth to Brahma, but because she becomes the wife of father of Brahma. Right? So that's why Jagat Jananyam, when she is called Janani of Brahma, that's what it means. She happens to be the wife of the father of Brahma. That's why she is mother of Brahma. Not that she gives birth. He takes directly birth without a mother. So this lotus is representing the universal gross Virat form. Right? So it amalgamated in the personality of Godhead in his abdomen at the time of dissolution, and it becomes manifest at the time of creation. Right? So on top of lotus, Brahmaji comes. Now Chakvartipad says that there are three forms of Brahma. One is the gross form, which is also called Vairaja. Two is the subtle form, which is called Hiranyagarbha. Three is four-headed form as a creator. So when you understand there is Vairaja Brahma, Hiranyagarbha Brahma, and then four-headed Brahma, so these terminologies are there to represent different aspects of Brahma. Gross form is Vairaja, subtle form is Hiranyagarbha. Right? It is also mentioned in the 10th canto, 1st chapter, that when Mother Earth was Mother Earth approached Brahmaji, right? When she was tormented by all the demoniac kings, she approached Brahmaji for help. But actually, in the 9th canto, we also hear that this Kakudmi, he had a daughter called Revati, and then he wants her to get married to some qualified son-in-law, and then he goes to Brahmaji. At the time, Brahmaji was hearing from some ha-ha and hoo-hoo, Gandharvas. They are making a musical performance and Brahmaji is busy hearing them. So, by the time this Kakudmi got an appointment of Brahmaji, already 28 yoga cycles passed. Right? All those people who may be in the mind of Kakudmi now passed, and their whole so many generations just went away. Then Brahmaji suggested that you go and get your daughter married to Balaramji. Then when Revati came down, she was so huge, Kali Yuga body. Balaramji is like close to a Dwapar Yuga body, right? He just took his hull and then pulled her. And then she became like of manageable height of Balaramji, and then they got married. So why I said this story was, if Mother Earth has to approach Brahmaji in the beginning, before birth of Krishna, which Brahma she approached? One Brahma has been hearing from ha-ha, hu-hu for the last 28 yoga cycles, right? When did she approach and whom did she approach? Any thoughts? So there are two Brahmas, right? Hiranyagarbha Brahma, Vairaja Brahma. One Brahma stays in Satyaloka, who is hearing from ha-ha, hu-hu. Another Brahma stays on the top of Mount Meru, right? So Mother Earth, along with all the demigods, approached that Brahma who is staying on the top of Mount Meru. Little confusing, right? Chant Hare Krishna. So many details of these multiple Brahmas are not very much available. At least I happened to read from 10th canto, 1st chapter, from one of the Acharya's commentaries. And here in this chapter, Chakvartipad says like this: three forms of Brahma, Vairaja, Hiranyagarbha, and four-headed Brahma, creator. Like that. Yeah, he also says that Vairaja is the lotus, the Virat form, universal form. And the subtle form, Hiranyagarbha, is the body of Vishnu. Sometimes you see Garbhodaksha Vishnu is also called Hiranyagarbha. Garbhodaksha Vishnu. Yeah. So that Hiranyagarbha terminology is used to represent Brahma sometimes, and also this Vishnu also. So there is little reconciliation of this fact. For example, in your body, you have a soul and a super soul and a gross body and a subtle body. Right? Now, in this universe also, there is a gross body, there is a subtle body, there is a soul, and there is super soul. Right? The soul is Brahma. Super soul is Garbhodaksha Vishnu. Right? Gross body is the universe. And the subtle body is the Virat Roop. So Virat Roop is a subtle body, is a subtle form of the Supreme Lord. Or subtle form of Brahmaji also. Right? So basically Garbhodaksha Vishnu, this whole universe is also considered a form of the Supreme Lord, Garbhodaksha Vishnu. And Virat Roop is considered to be a form of the Supreme Lord, an expansion of Garbhodaksha Vishnu. Right? In that sense, Virat Roop is a form of Garbhodaksha Vishnu, subtle body of the universe. And the subtle form of the universe is also the subtle form of Brahmaji also. In that sense, Hiranyagarbha terminology is used exchangeably between Brahmaji and Garbhodaksha Vishnu, both. Confused? Varaha Brahma, Satyaloka. Vairajya Brahma is on the top of Mount Meru according to 10th canto. But according to this place, grass form, Vairajya Brahma, this, what is it? Vairajya Brahma is the lotus of all planets, the grass form of the universe, Virat form. So this terminal said little, I don't have a very deep understanding of this. I just gave you what I know. Okay, now, how will Brahmaji get four heads? Tasyam sa shambho ruhakarnikayam avasthito lokam apashyamana parikraman vyomni vivritta netras chatvari lebhe nudisham mukhani. And one more comment about the previous discussion. Jiva Goswami also says that to create this material world, this Garbhodaksaya Vishnu, he with his inconceivable potency entered into the lotus as and became the personality Brahma. So Brahmaji is ultimately one of the avatars of Lord. In that sense you can say he is non-different. Then the whole reconciliation can happen. Hiranyagarbha, Vairaja, universal form, all these terminologies are applied both to Brahmaji and Garbhodaksaya Vishnu. The one reconciliation according to Jiva Goswami is that he, Lord himself becomes Brahma. Or Brahma is Gunavatara of Brahma.
That happens when Lord.
Yeah, correct. When qualified living entity is not available, he will become Brahma. But ultimately that qualified living entity is also a gunavatar of Lord, right? He's an expansion of the Lord. So exact reconciliation, we can refer to things more deeply, right? This is understanding we receive from Chakravartipad, Prabhupada, Bhurijan Prabhu in Unwilling Lotus Feet, and Jiva Goswami and some 10th canto references. So beyond that also there could be some references to understand this in a much deeper way. But this much is sure, Brahma is the soul, Virat Roop is the subtle body, universe is the gross body, super soul is Garbhodaksaya Vishnu. Right? The terminology is Hiranyagarbha being exchangeably used with Brahma and Garbhodaka could be reconciled by saying that Lord also, Brahmaji is just an expansion of the Supreme Lord, Garbhodaksaya Vishnu. Okay, now Brahma gets bewildered. He sees in four directions and he gets four heads. Right? Now he is unable to understand the creation, the lotus or himself. He is unable to understand all this. So one can understand the Lord only by the Lord's mercy. That is explained by Prabhupada in the purport. Right? Brahma tried to understand for one millennium, but he couldn't understand. So now Brahma starts contemplating. Okay, from where did this lotus arise? There must be something upon which this is based. She was thinking like that. So 18th verse describes Brahmaji's contemplation. Ka esha yosav aham abjaprishta etat kutova abjamananyad apsu. Oh, 17 did not happen. Oh, Brahmaji gets four heads and then he gets bewildered. 17th verse is this. Okay, we'll read. Tasmadyugantas vasana avagurna jalormichakrad salilad virudham upashritah kanjamutsvilokatattvam natmanamadha vidad adi devah.
Hmm.
So So Brahmaji sitting on the lotus, he is unable to understand what's happening there. Then Prabhupada writes in the purport that understanding of the Lord will happen only by Lord's mercy. So Brahmaji, in the next verses you will see him contemplating and then trying to search, going through the stem of the lotus, going to the abdomen, still he is unable to figure out. Then later by Lord's mercy he will get the understanding that I should meditate on the Supreme Lord. Then things will be revealed. So at the end of the millennium, this word millennium is little difficult to understand. At the end of the millennium, the era of devastation began. Basically, it's like the day of Brahma. You are saying something? Yeah. Yuga is millennium, that is there. So now this here, it is referring to the devastation waters, right? So now the night ended, right? This 1000 yuga cycles ended. So yuganta may be say end of yuga cycles, right? And then this whole devastation waters are moving, and then Brahma gets bewildered by that. Kaesha yosa aham abjaprishta etat kuto vabjamananyadapsu हस्ति ह्यधा अधस्ताद् इह कञ्च नैतद् अधिष्ठितं यत्र सतानुभाव्यम् So Prabhupada gives a nice lesson here that who is the most intelligent man? One who tries to understand the cause of his personal existence and the whole cosmic creation and ultimate cause. So one who is inquisitive to know these things is an intelligent man. Like that. Next. Surety of success is there when the attempt is properly executed with penances and perseverance. Okay, with this contemplation, what does Brahma do? Saitamudviksha tadabjanala Nadibhirantar jalamavishesha Narvagatastat kharanalanala Nabhim vichinvam stadavindatajya. So he went all the way there. Personally, now he is more closer to Vishnu than he was on the top of the lotus. Still he couldn't understand. Prabhupada says one by one's personal endeavor, one cannot understand the Lord. Even if he goes very nearer to the Lord, what makes one understand the Lord is by Lord's mercy only. That is beautifully mentioned here. Later, in some later purports also, it comes that by Lord's mercy only Brahma got this intelligence to meditate on the Lord. So now Brahmaji understood that he is wasting time. Right, in 20th verse. Tamasyapare viduratmasangam viduratmasargam vichinvato bhut sumaham strinemi yodeha bhajam bhayamirayana parikshinotyayurajasya dheti.
Oh Vidura, while searching in that way about his existence, Brahma reached his ultimate time, which is the eternal wheel in the hand of Vishnu, and which generates the fear in the mind of the living entity, like the fear of a death.
Okay. So basically this verse is indicating that Brahma understood that my life duration is decreasing, or I am wasting time, so let me do meditation on the Lord. So Brahmaji stopped searching. By searching for the Lord, searching for the root of the lotus or the cause of this whole scene, I am wasting time, let me meditate on the Lord. This understanding he got by the mercy of the Lord only. Tato nivritto pratilabdha kama. Svadhishnamasadhya punasya devah. Shanairjita svasa nivritta citto. Nyashidadarudha samadhi yoga.
Thereafter, being unable to achieve the desired destination, he retired from such a searching and came back again to the top of the lotus. Thus, controlling all objectives, he concentrated his mind on the Supreme Lord.
Okay. Controlling all objectives, he concentrated on the mind of the Supreme Lord. Nivritta citto. By coming back onto the top of lotus, Svadhishnyam. That is his place, right? With Samadhi Yogam. To cease from personal sense endeavors and to concentrate on the Supreme Cause, Samadhi, is a sign of self-surrender. It is a sign of devotional service. Prabhupada nicely points out. Right? And one who can give up pride attains the Lord through meditation, by Lord's will. Right? I can figure out things on my own. So Brahmaji was in this mode so far. Now he gave up all his endeavors. Let me meditate on the Supreme Lord. He got that intelligence. Kalena soja purusha yushabhi.
Kalena soja purusha yushabhi.
Pravritta yogena virudha bodha.
Pravritta yogena virudha bodha.
Svayam tadantar hridaye vabhatam.
Svayam tadantar hridaye vabhatam.
Apashyata apashyata yannar purvam. Okay, finally after meditating on the Lord for a long time, he could see the Lord. So Brahma sees the Lord. That is mentioned in the 23rd verse. And what form of the Lord he has seen? Right? How does that form look like? That is mentioned from 24th verse till the end of the chapter. 23. So he, Prabhupada says there, one day is of Brahma is 43 followed by 5 zeros years. Okay. 43 lakhs years. Right? So, on that basis, Brahmaji meditated for 100 years. Right? So, and wrote Brahma Samhita.
His life is only
100
years.
No. This is human calculation. His one day, life is 100 years. This is happening in one day. Getting, na? This is happening within one day of Brahmaji, which has 43 lakh years. In that 43 lakh years, 100 years were dedicated for meditation. Yeah. You see the purport there. One day of Brahma is 43 lakh years, right? 100 into 4 yugas. On that basis, Brahmaji meditated for 100 years. Prabhupada wrote? Yeah. And wrote Brahma Samhita also. So that is the 100 years. Not Brahmaji's 100 years. His whole life is gone. Now we are speaking within one day. What is remaining? So Brahmaji sees the Lord. Mrinala Gaura Yatasesha Bhoga. Prayanka Ekam Purusham Shayanam. Fanata Patra Yutamurdha Ratna. Dyubhirhata Dvanta Yuganta Toye. So this is the darshan of Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu that he is getting. You see there are 2-3 paintings where Lord Vishnu is lying down and then from his navi comes the lotus on top. Brahmaji is there seeing him like this. Right? There are some 2-3 BBD paintings. So this now comes the description of the beauty of the Lord. Right? For your next assignment. Sridharani Mahaprabhu. Yes, Prabhu.
Yeah.
See, he has not yet seen the Lord. He is meditating on the Lord. He is a, Brahmaji is a glorious soul, right? He has knowledge of the Supreme Lord by his previous lives and the previous days, right? He was very much aware of the Supreme Lord, of the existence of the Supreme Lord. He just meditated. Although he did not get darshan. Even in 10th canto also, Brahmaji goes on the shore of the milk ocean and then meditates on the Lord. He didn't see the Lord. He meditates on the Lord and then Lord passes a message that he communicates to all the demigods. Right? So, on which, it's not like going in front of deity and meditating. Right? He has the knowledge of Supreme Lord within his mind and then he is meditating on that Supreme Lord. Just remembering. It's not that he needs to have the Lord in front of him. After meditation, Lord manifested himself. Someone was raising hand. Okay, now the beauty of the Lord comes. So these are beautiful set of verses. Right? So, in various places in Bhagavatam, the form of the Lord is described. And all these descriptions are of very special significance to all of us. Because we are personalists. Right? We are not impersonalists. We believe that Lord is a person. If he is a person, he has a form. He is not nirakar. So we can quote authentic descriptions of the Lord's form with very minute details also, directly mentioned in the bona fide sources like Bhagavatam. So if we read these sections very nicely, thoroughly, so we can always present them to people who claim that Lord doesn't have a form. You know, once I took my mother to a hospital, the doctor happens to be a Muslim. Okay, he was showing me some Jakir Naik's books. Right? There are some mentions like Lord doesn't have a form and all this. So why are putting so many ornaments and then Shankha Chakra and garlands this and that for Balaji? He doesn't have a form only. You are imagining some form and you are offering so many things physical. Right? He had so many arguments to make. The first thing is Nirakar itself is questionable. Right? I just spoke few things. It's not imaginary form. We have authentic descriptions of Lord's form. Right? Lord has six opulences. Of that, beauty is one opulence. So like that I mentioned few things. So people are under this understanding, under this impression, Lord doesn't have a form. And whatever forms that we are thinking is only imagination. And important point is, they never got a proper explanation. They are developing this kind of ideas. Okay, Lord doesn't have a form and all. And they are presenting in front of some Hindus and challenging them. And Hindus are unable to defeat those arguments. Right? So their main issue is you have 33 crore demigods. Right? Demigods name, gods. Okay, who is that god? Who is the one ultimate god? So all these questions they have. So they are not getting proper answers. So there is one Supreme Lord. All other demigods are like his servants. Right? They are taking care of different affairs of the universal administrative system. So this kind of hierarchy of the god and demigods and Lord's personal form, all these things, most Hindus are not aware. Right? So when we read these descriptions, we can surely educate people, right, on the personal aspect of the Lord. That's why some of your assignments are how Lord is a person, how he has a form, description, various attributes of Lord's form and all that. Okay, let's read this very carefully. Prekshaam kshipantam harito paladrehi sandhyabrani ver ururukma murdhana रत्नोदधारौ षधिसौ मनस्य वनस्रजो वेणुभुजाङ्ग्रिपङ्ग्रेः
mountains, waterfalls, herbs, etc. with the panorama of flowers seems like a garland. With a large gigantic body and his hands and legs decorated with jewels, pearls, tulsi leaves and the flower garlands mock the scene on the mountain.
So this is beautiful. So here Lord is compared to a coral mountain. Coral, in Telugu it is pagadam, you know, that green mountain, pagadam. Okay, coral. Coral mountain. I thought at least one person will understand the local language. I don't know what you people call Hindi or Marathi. Coral, it's a very costly gem, right? So, Preksham Kshipantam Harito Paladrir. Harita Upala Adrehe. Upala is coral. Harita is green. A green valuable stone. That is coral. Adri is a mountain. You put in these rings, right? So Lord is appearing like that, a green mountain. You see Kohoj, green mountain with so many greenery. So Lord is appearing like that. Lord is compared to the panoramic beauty of a green coral mountain. Preksham Kshipantam Haritopaladre. Next is Sandhyabra Niver Ururukma Murdhanaha. Sandhya is the change of sun's way, course, right? Sandhyabra Niver means Abra is dress or the orna, what is that, garments, right? Sandhyabra Niver. So Lord's dress is appearing like evening sky, right? Evening sky. Then Ururukma Murdhanaha. Murdhana means summit, the peak, right? Uru Rukma. So it is like appearing like a great golden. Rukma is gold. The great peak of the mountain is appearing goldish. Means that is compared to Lord's crown. Right? Lord's whole body is like a coral mountain. And the peak of the mountain is compared to Lord's mukut, which is golden. Peak of the mountain is golden. Lord's mukut is golden, crown. Okay? Then Ratno Dadharo Shodhito Manasya. Right? Ratna. So many ratnas are bedecked in the Lord's helmet. Right? So on the summit of a mountain, gold mountain, which is like Lord's helmet, so many jewels are bedecked. Ratno Dadharo Shodhito Manasya. Vanasrajo Venu Bhujangri Pangare. So Vanasraja are all the herbs and flowers that are available in a forest. Right? So Lord's garland, fresh flower garland, is appearing like that. All the greenery and flowers, plants, etc. on a mountain. Vanasrajo Venu Bhujangripa Angare. Right? Lord's dress. Bhuja Angripa. Angripa is trees. Why it is Angripa? Angripa or Padapa means it takes water from down. Right? Food. It eats from legs. Like that. Angripa, Angriyehe. So Lord's Angris are resembling Angripas. So that is the beautiful description. The luster of the transcendental body of the Lord mocked the beauty of coral mountain. Mocked the beauty of coral mountain. Right? It's much more beautiful. So just for our understanding, he compared like that. Sandhyabra Niver Ururukma Murdhana. So Lord's beautiful yellow dress is appearing like the evening sky. Then Ratna Dhadara Oshadhi Somanasya, the gold on the summit of the mountain, which is like resembling helmet, which is bedecked with so many jewels. Vanasrajo Venu Bhujangri Pangri. So the mountains, waterfalls, herbs, etc. with the panorama of flowers seem like garlands, but Lord's gigantic body, his hands, legs decorated with jewels, pearls, tulsi leaves and flower garlands mocked the scene of a mountain. When you see the mountain with the evening sky and all the greenery and flowers, etc., that's a very beautiful scene. So Lord's beauty is resembling that or mocking that. Like that. It's emerald mountain. In English it is emerald, coral. So tulsi garland is also mentioned here. Mandara kunda krobot pala champa karana punna aganaga vakilambuja parijata gandherchite tulasika bharanena tasya. So Lord always wears tulsi garland. So because Lord is very much pleased with the austerities done by Tulsi Maharani. Right? So Ratnodharo, that jewels are bedecking the helmet, na? Yeah, helmet is not mentioned, but Prabhupada writes in the purport. You see, Lord's helmet bedecked with jewels mocked it. Right? Ratno dadarau shadi saumanasya. Right? Ururukma murdhana, that is the golden summit. Okay? See, Ururukma murdhana is the golden helmet. Helmet, golden summit of a mountain. That is compared to Lord's mukut, which is bedecked with jewels. See, Prabhupada adds few more things, which you may not directly see in the verse. So, but Prabhupada's additions will make the understanding of the verse more clear. Right? Vanasrajo venu bhujangri pangri. So they may not reflect in the translation, what is that, word to word meaning, but it's like extra details are given in the translation. Sometimes translation will seem like a purport. You need not get bewildered. That's where comes Sraddhalave. Okay, next, 25th verse. So now a small comparison is given in the 24th verse. Here the expanse of the body and the variegatedness of Lord's body is seen. Ayamato visrajata svamana dehena lokatraya sangrahena vichitra divya bharanam sukana kritasriyapa shritavesha deham. Okay, the expanse of Lord's body is, it seems like it's occupying all three planetary systems, very huge. So Prabhupada says here Lord's body could only be measured by his own measurement. We cannot measure. In the fifth canto purports also Prabhupada says, fifth canto there are so many mountains, universal mountains, right? Sumeru and then other mountains. There are so many 20 Kesharachala mountains around Sumeru. There are supporting mountains, some 8 mountains. All this, Prabhupada says, ordinary scientists, they cannot measure the expanse of length and breadth of the mountains, small insignificant mountains which are available within this planet only. What to speak of the universal mountains? We cannot disprove the statements of Bhagavatam. We cannot verify the statements of Bhagavatam. Better accept the statements. This is what Prabhupada says. The expanse of Lord's body also, what we can understand, accept it from Bhagavatam. Okay. Lord is very huge according to his position as God. Right. Beauty of material nature is due to his personal beauty. Important point. Now in the rainy season you see the mountain is very nicely seen with greenery, waterfalls are coming, clouds are there, so many flowers are there. So nature appears very beautiful, but that is a reflection of Lord's personal beauty. Right? Lord is said, what is that? Snigdha pravrit ghanasyamam sarva saundarya sangraham. Snigdha pravrit ghanasyamam means Lord's body beauty is glistening. You see the rain water, the drops, they glisten, right? Shine. So like that, Lord's body also shines. Snigdha pravrit ghanasyamam, and his body is of the complexion of clouds. You see the clouds. Ghanasyamam sarva saundarya sangraham. He is the collection of all beauty. There is unlimited beauty in the material world. There is much more unlimited beauty in the spiritual world. The collection of all the beauties in the material and spiritual worlds is there in the form of the Lord. Like that. So beauty of material nature is due to his personal beauty. Yet he is always magnificently dressed and ornamented to prove his variegatedness. Right? This is so important in advancement of spiritual knowledge. Understanding these facts. Pumsam svakamaya vimuk vivikta margair. Pumsam svakamaya अभ्यर्चिताम का मधुगांघ्रि पद्मम प्रदर्शयन्तं कृपया नखेन्दु मयूखभिन्नाङ्गुलिचारुपत्रम् पुंसां स्वकामाय विविक्तमार्गैर् अभ्यर्चितां कामदुगाङ्घ्रिपद्मम् प्रदर्शयन्तं कृपया नखेन्दु मयूखभिन्नाङ्गुलिचारुपत्रम् So this is another beautiful verse. It explains the glory of Lord's lotus feet and the beauty of his toenails. Pumsam svakamaya vivikta margair abhyarchitam. So Lord is worshipped by devotees. Vivikta margair means the marga, the path that is not mixed with jnana and karma. That is pure devotional service. Anyabhilashita sunyam jnana karmadi anavartam. That is vivikta marga. So, or by the pure paths arising from vaidhi and raganuga or bhava marga with dasya, sakhya and other rasas. Right? Here basically the Lord is reciprocating with the devotees. Right? So, Lord is showing his lotus feet to the devotees. Pumsam svakamaya vimikta margair abhyarchitam kama dugangri padmam. Devotees worship the lotus feet of the Lord, which are like kama dugangri. They can bestow all the benedictions that they aspire for. Right? Pradarshayantam krupaya. With great krupa, mercy, pradarshayantam, he is showing darshan of his lotus feet. Right? So this verse is actually referring to Krishna. Because only Krishna will lift one foot and then show. Vishnu will not do that. You see Vrindavan Vihari, one foot is standing on the ground, one foot is like open. Right? The right foot. He opens, it stands like this. Pradarshayantam krupaya. Out of his causeless mercy, Lord is opening one of his lotus feet and then showing the bottom of the soles. Like that. Pradarshayantam krupaya. Nakhendu mayukha bhinnanguli charupatram. So mayukha here is the kanti, the effulgence. Right? Mayukha nakhendu. What is the effulgence here? Nakha is the nails, toenails of the Lord are emanating such beautiful effulgence. Right? Bhinnanguli charupatram. So what is the charupatram there? Very beautiful. Right? They are appearing very beautiful. The moon-like toenails and fingernails appeared like the petals of a lotus flower. Petals of a flower. Very beautiful. In the third canto, somewhere in 28th chapter also it comes. Sanchintayad bhagavatas charanaravindam vajrankusad bhajasarvaruha lanchanadyam uttunga rakta vilasan nakachakravala jyotsnalibhir ahatat. So one has to meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord. Sanchintayet bhagavata charanaravindam. His lotus feet has to be meditated upon. What is the glory of it? Sanchintayet bhagavata charanaravindam vajra, ankusha, dhaja, saroruha, lanchanadhyam. It has auspicious marks like vajra, thunderbolt, ankusha, elephant goat. Right? Vajra Ankusha Dhaja, a flag. Ankusha Dhaja Saroruha, a lotus. Right? These are all the auspicious marks which are available on the lotus feet of great personalities, like Supreme Lord. Vajra Ankusha Dhaja Saroruha Lanchanadyam Uttunga Rakta Vilasan Nakachakravala. So the effulgence emanating from the toenails of the Supreme Lord Ahata Mahat Hridayandhakaram. it will completely extinguish the thick gloom of darkness which is there in our hearts. When we go in front of the deities and expose ourselves to the effulgence emanating from the moon-like toenails of the Supreme Lord, the darkness of our heart will vanquish. That is the glory of taking darshan of Lord's lotus feet. Same thing is repeated here. Mayuka Vinnanguli Charupatram. And out of his great mercy, he is opening, he is pradarshayantam, he is giving darshan of his lotus feet. Right? Pradarshayantam Kripayana Khendu. Mayuka Vinnanguli Charupatram. Okay. So that is the effect of Lord's lotus feet and his toenails. Now, here because this is coming, Pumsam Svakamaya Vimukti Margair. So all the devotees have no other desire except for rendering service to the Lord. Vivikta Margair. They are devoid of all other paths. They just focus on devotional service. Such are the devotees' desires. Prabhupada elaborates on that. Jnana Karma Dhyana Avartam. Okay, this also I discussed. Here the Lord is Krishna. Okay, we'll go to the next verse. Mukhena lokarti harena harasmitena parispurat kundala manditena sonayitena dharabimbabasa pratyarhayantam sunasena subhrava mukhena lokarti harena mukhena lokarti harasmitena parispurat kundala manditena shonayitena dharabimbabhasa pratyarhayantam sunasena subhrava. Further aspects of Lord's beauty. Beautiful verse. Mukhena loka arti harena. Arti harasmitena. So his lotus face is decorated with a lotus smile. Right? Mukhena loka arti harena. Harasmitena. So his lotus face has a lotus smile, beautiful smile. That will arti harena. Arti means distress. Harena means vanquishing the distress. Lord's lotus face and his beautiful smile will vanquish the distress of everyone. What is that verse? 3.28. Hasam hare ravanata akhila loka tivra shokashru sagara visoshana matyudaram sammohanaya rajitam rijamaya yasya bhumandalam munikrite makaradhvajasya. So hasam hare, the beautiful smile of Hari, Avanatakhila loka tivra shokashru sagara visoshana matyudaram. It can completely dry up the ocean that is created with the tears of suffering of the conditioned soul. The conditioned soul, with his lamentation and suffering, he is creating an ocean of tears. What is the job profile of a conditioned soul who is suffering in this material world? Just to cry, just to lament. A majority of his life goes in crying and lamentation only. And there is little happiness here and there. So, ham pranam kshulla sukhaya mahat dukkham. Right? So, when someone focuses on the beautiful smile of the Supreme Lord, hasam, the smile of the Supreme Lord, that ocean gets dried up. If you are facing any problems, go in front of Vrindavan Vihari, see his smile. Then, suffering will dry up. Right? Just like a drop of dew in front of GEV summer midday 12 o'clock like that. That's what is mentioned here. Mukhena lokarti harasmitena parispurat kundala manditena. And his kundala, his earrings are very attractive and glistening. Right? Even in Damodar Leela also this reference comes. Lasat kundalam gokule bhrajamanam So all the ornaments of Krishna are of one category. Definitely they are very fortunate to be adorned by Krishna, right? They are decorating Krishna, param padam bhushana bhushanangam. Krishna becomes ornament of all ornaments. All ornaments decorating Krishna are definitely very beautiful, but these kundalas are especially glorious and fortunate because they have the constant opportunity to kiss the cheeks of Damodar constantly, right? Mother Yashoda, he is in Mother Yashoda's lap for some time. He is always going here and there. But kundalas are constantly kissing, right? That is the speciality of kundala. Parispurat kundala manditena. Shonyati tenadhara bimba bhasa pratyarhayantam sunasena subhrava. So here the Lord lips are mentioned. Okay. Also he acknowledges the service of the devotees and vanquishes the distress. This shonyati adhara bimba bhasa. I just want to see that. Okay, acknowledging. So this acknowledging is referring to the lokarti harena, about the reciprocation with devotees. Right? He is acknowledging the service of the devotees. How does Lord acknowledge the service of his devotees? By mukhena lokarti harena smitena, by his smile. So a devotee will undergo tremendous amount of endeavor to offer some service to the Supreme Lord. The reciprocation or the reward he gets for his service is Lord's smile. That is the theme of purpose purport. The Lord's remuneration for his devotee's service is his smile. Remuneration. Right? So we have so many labor here. They will come. They will do like whatever 8 hours of work is there. They will get 120 rupees or 150 rupees at the end of the day. That is the remuneration for the labor that they have done throughout the day. We should do labor throughout our lives, every single day, every single moment, and the only remuneration that we need to expect is Lord's smile. So Lord's smile, how can we see Lord's smile? He's always smiling. You go to Vrindavan Vihari, he's always smiling. But he actually smiles through his devotees. Right? We serve under some authorities, right, and we please them by our service and they have a smile on their faces. We can understand that is the representation of Lord's smile. That is the remuneration. We just have to be satisfied with that, nothing more. If we have any other agendas of name, fame, credit, or some facilities or some other things, then service is not pure. The only remuneration is his smile. Bhagavatam says this. If you are expecting any other remuneration, then we are not at the right place. Right? That's not the right attitude. Mukhena lokarti hara smitena. Smitena sonyati. So that sonya, that acknowledgement of service happens by sonayitena. Sonayitena means acknowledging. Adhara bimba bhasa pratyarhayantam, reciprocating. Again, acknowledging and reciprocating. Acknowledging is one thing, reciprocating is the next level. Okay, sonasena, by his pleasing nose, subhrava, pleasing eyebrows. Eyebrows is also mentioned. Nose is one thing, eyebrows. Asamhare ravanatakhila lokativra shokasura sagar visoshana matyudaram sammohanaya rachitam nijamaya yasya bhrumandale munikrute makaradhvajasya. So if someone is tormented by the arrows of Cupid, Makaradhvajasya, he has to focus on the eyebrows of Krishna. Right? Sammohanaya rachitam nijamaya yasya. These eyebrows are not manifested by his external energy. Nijamaya yasya. They are manifested by his internal energy. Right? Eyebrows. So nijamaya yasya bhrumandalam munikritiya makaradhvajasya. They are like the saving grace for the munis, means all the practicing devotees, to be saved from the arrow of Cupid. Like that. If one wants to reduce his suffering, focus on his smile. If one wants to reduce his lust, focus on his eyebrows. Right? If one wants to reduce the darkness of the heart, focus on his toenails, lotus feet. So everything is there in Lord's form. Right? we need not go anywhere else. And Lord's form is Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam, each and every canto of Bhagavatam is compared to Lord's form from Padma Purana. First two cantos are his lotus feet. Okay, his face is 10th canto. Like that. So take shelter of Bhagavatam, all your material sufferings are gone away. So that is the point that Bhagavatam is making repeatedly. Okay, Prabhupada says, devotional service is very much obliging to him. There are many transcendentalists in different fields of spiritual activities, but devotional service is unique. So all are considered to be transcendentalists, yogis, karmis, jnanis and whatever. May not be karmis, but jnanis. But devotional service, devotees are actually transcendentalists because they have anya abhilashita. They have no other abhilasha, no other material desire. The devotees do not ask for anything from Lord in exchange of their service. They reject even liberation. They do so much service throughout their lives and Lord asks, what do you want? They say, just smile. That's all we want. Or we want to hear about you. Or what? You ask something, no? No. We just want to hear about you. Right? Varayan vibho tad varadeshvarad buddha katham vrinite guna vikriyatmanam. So he says, oh vibho, you are varadeshvara. You are the best of all bestowers of benedictions. Right? But what I need from you is vidhatsva karanayutam eshamevara. I just want millions of years to hear about you from your devotees. Nothing else. Right? Just hearing. Or I just want your smile. Just smilingly glance upon us. Sufficient. All the Dwarkavasis say, right? Irhyambu yakshapasasara bhobhavan. No. What is the next verse? Last verse? 10th verse? 1.11.10. No. Katham vayam nata chirosite tvai. Next verse. That is 9th verse. Aho sanatha bhavatasma yadvayam traivishtapanam abhidur. No, that is 8th verse. Go to 10th verse. Are you kholu? What is the... Oh, it's not there in that. 1.11.10. Katham vayam nata chirosite tvai. Prasanna drishtya akhila tapasoshanam. So how can we even exist without your smile, without your darshan? Prasanna drishtya, your prasanna drishti is akhila tapasoshanam. Jeevemate sundara hasa shobhitam apashyamam vadanam manoharam. How can we even exist without looking at you? Like that. So they don't need anything else. They just need Lord's pleasing glances. They have to be showered and they want to hear about Lord. That's why anya bilasita sunyam. They reject even liberation. Why they reject liberation? Anyone has any thoughts? Why devotees reject liberation, Prabhu? Yeah. Third canto, one verse will come. So they are focused on service. There are five types of liberation. Salokya, Sarishti, Samipya, Sayujya, Salokya, Samipya, Sarishti. So Sayujya anyways they reject. No need to mention about reasons. Other four, personal liberations also they reject. Why? Not out of arrogance. Mukti Mukilitanjali. Hey, Mukti Devi will come and stand in front of the devotee with folded hand. Please accept me. Please accept me. He says, no, don't come. It's not out of arrogance or pride that a devotee has to reject Mukti Devi like that. That is the humility of a devotee. So these four types of personal liberation, Salokya, to stay in the same planet as Supreme Lord. It's like same room. Salokya. Salokya, same planet. In some other corner. Sarupya, same form as Lord. Then Sarishti, same opulences of the Lord. Then Samipya, very close to the Lord. So Salokya may be living in the same planet. Prime Minister of India is Prime Minister of India and you are living in the same country. Right? That is Salokya. But if you are living in his house only, that is Samipya. Right? That is even one step ahead. So these four muktis are such a privileged things that devotee feels so humble that I am not qualified for this. I don't deserve to be staying with the Lord, to be having same form as Lord, to be so close to the Lord. I don't deserve all this. But do you have a service for me? Oh, I will come. Then I will come. I will accept all this if I have a service. If I don't have service, I don't accept all this. That's why they reject. That is the spirit of their rejecting liberation, not out of arrogance. Okay, 28th verse. Kadamba kinjal kapishanga vasasam svalankritam mekhalayani tambe harena chananta dhanena vatsam srivatsa vaksha sthala vallabhenam. So, this is a very beautiful verse to meditate. We need to, when we dress the deities also, we go through all these steps, right? Of offering the Lord all these things, waist belt, dhoti, then some kamarpatti, cloth, right? Then other things. Here it is said, Kadamba kinjalka pishanga vasasa. So kadamba kinjalka, you saw kadamba flowers recently, they came, but they come for only so 2-3 days. So kadamba kinjalpa, the filaments of the kadamba flower are yellowish, right? So Lord's cloth, dhoti, or waist cloth, so that is of that complexion, that color. Kadamba kinjalka pishanga vasasa, right? What's next? Svalankritam mekhalaya nitambe. Svalankritam means he is decorated with that kind of cloth, right? Mekhalaya. Mekhalaya is a belt, waist belt, right? Mekhalaya nitambe. On his waist there is a belt. Kadamba kinjalka pishangavasasa. Then svalankritam mekhalaya nitambe. Harena chananta dhaniena vatsa. Sri vatsa vaksha sthalavallabhena. So, and he is also wearing a beautiful necklace on his chest. That is Srivatsa. Chest is marked with Srivatsa mark, and he wears a Kaustubha jewel also. And there is another interesting fact about Lord's necklaces. The 28th chapter, this comes. You can open 3.28. I got it. Kaumodaki bhagavato daitam smareta digdham arati bhatashonita kardamena malam madhuvrata giropa gushtam chaityasya tattvamavalam manimasya kante. So kaumodaki bhagavato, Lord always wears, holds a kaumodaki gada that is always tainted with the blood of the demons whom he kills. Kaumodaki bhagavato daitam smareta digdham arati bhatashonita kardamena. So there are two types of living entities, Arati and pure devotee, Amala. Amala and Arati, these are the two categories of people. Arati means those who act against the will of the Lord. Then Amala means pure devotees. Their only job profile, their only work is to serve the Supreme Lord. So such people, Chaityasya tattvamavalam manimasya kante. Lord wears a beautiful pearl necklace around his neck, right? And all the devotees are representing that necklace. Or the necklace represents all the devotees of the Lord. So Lord places all the devotees so close to his heart like that. That is about Lord's necklace. Chaityasya tattvamavalam manimasya kante. While all the demons' blood is placed on his kaumodaki gada. Parardhyakeyoramani praveka Paryasta dordanda sahasra shakham Avyaktamolam bhuvanam gripendram Ahindra bhogair adhivisa valsam.
He was a self-situated tree, the lord of all others in the universe. And as the sandalwood tree is covered with the many snakes, so the Lord's body was also covered with the fruits of another.
Nice. because snakes like this nice fragrance, and oftentimes a sandalwood tree is surrounded by snakes. So Lord's body is also compared to sandalwood tree, and all the snakes are the Ananta-sesha with so many hoods. He's like multiple snakes. He's one snake only, but multiple snakes. Pararta keyura mani pravegha. Okay. So because Lord's fame perfumes the whole universe, Lord's fame perfumes the whole universe. The Lord is compared to sandalwood tree. That is the reason. Chakravartibha says, Lord's fame will emanate such a fragrance in the whole universe. Means basically Lord's fame is spread everywhere. Right? That is why he is compared to sandalwood tree. In a sandalwood forest, if you go, the perfume is like all over the place. So avyakta moolam. Avyakta moolam means no one can know where are the roots of this tree. Moolam is the root. Avyakta moolam means you can't understand where is the moolam. It's not revealed to you. Similarly, Lord is the root of himself. He has no other separate cause for the standing of his own self. You can't understand who is the, where is the, what is the root of this person? What is the cause of this person? Where did this person suddenly manifested from? Right? You can't understand. Because he is self-sustaining, or he is self-existing. He is avyakta moolam. 12:56. Four more minutes. Okay, then swasrayasraya. He is his own support, no other support. Okay. Swashraya ashraya. Swashraya ashraya. He is his own shelter. He doesn't have any other shelter. He is compared to sandalwood tree, and it is also mentioned that he doesn't have a root. Sandalwood tree whose roots are unknown. Similarly, Lord, whose cause is unknown. Like that. 30th verse.
Characharauko
Bhagavan
Mahidram.
Ahindra Bandhum. Salilopa Gudham Kireta Sahasra Hiranya Sringam Avirbhavat Kaustu Bharatna Garbham. So Bhagavan Mahidram, so he is compared to a sandalwood mountain here. Earlier sandalwood tree, now sandalwood mountain, which is Malaya. So he is Ahindra Bandhum. Ahindra is Ananta, Ananta Sesh. Ahindra Bandhum means he is a friend of snakes. Ananta is his friend. Na? So he is like a Characharauko Bhagavan Mahidram. He stands as the abode of all moving and non-moving living entities. Chara achara auko. Chara achara auko. Bhagavan Mahidram. A mountain is the shelter of so many moving and non-moving living entities. Similarly, Lord is like that. He is the shelter of all moving and non-moving living entities. Because all the whole creation is merging into his abdomen. Right? Means he is a shelter. Okay, mountain has thousands of peaks. Lord also is Anantanaga. He has thousands of helmeted hoods. That is resembling like that. Okay, Lord is submerged in the water of devastation. Mountain also sometimes is seen in the middle of an ocean. That looks very beautiful. And mountain is filled with so many jewels. Similarly, Lord's body is filled with so many jewels. That's clear. So that ends the description of Lord's form. Now Brahmaji is concluding.
Nivetamaman Nivetamamnaya
Madhuratashriya Swagirtimaya Vanamalaya Harim Suryendu Vayagni Vayagnagamam Tridhamabhi Parikramat Pradhanikair Durasadam.
Lord Brahma is looking upon the Lord in the shape of a mountain,
Okay. So this is Lord Brahma's conclusion. He is the Lord who is like a mountain. So he was protected by the Sudarshana wheel for fighting. Even sun, moon, air, fire, etc. could not have access to him. No one can know him. Nate vidu sarthagatim, what is that? Name vidu suraganaha prabhavanna maharshayaha aham adirhi devana maharshi namcha sarvasa. No one can know him. No one can access him. So now last two verses, Brahmaji's service to the Lord is mentioned. At this point, Brahmaji saw the Supreme Lord, Garbhadaksha Vishnu, and he also saw the ingredients for creation, five ingredients. Okay? You see, tarhi eva tanna abhisahas sara sarojam atmanamambhas vasanam viyaccha dadarsha devo jagato vidhata natah param loka visarga drishti. So he saw the lake, then Lord's navel, then water, devastating water, then air and sky. These are considered the five ingredients for creation. So Brahmaji saw all that. Sakarma bijam rajaso pakarta varakta prajasisriksham yadeva drishtva astodvisargabhimukhastadidyam avyaktavartmanyabhiveshitatma. He'll begin to offer prayers. That is really brilliant section 3.9. So we have given two sessions for it. So one day Radhika Vallabhuru will take on Monday, maybe second day Balaram Shikthuru will take. Okay. So that ends this chapter. Basically in this chapter we have seen how Maitreya Muni glorified Vidura and then gave a description of the parampara of Bhagavatam, which is coming from Sankarshan to Sanat Kumar, then Sanat Kumar to Sankhyayan Muni, then Parashara Muni, then Maitreya, then ultimately to Vidura. Then he gave a description of the reawakening of creation, where Garbhodaksha Vishnu was in slumber, all the settled bodies of all living entities were merged into him. Right? Lord glanced upon them, and the lotus flower, which is a settled form of the universal form that sprouted from his navel, and Brahmaji manifested there, and then he was searching the cause of his own self and what is this whole devastation, what is he unable to understand. He went till the navel of the Lord, but he couldn't understand, and then he came back and started meditating on the Lord, right? And Lord's form was revealed to him, and later comes the beautiful description of Lord's form as seen by Brahmaji. So that form is compared to a coral mountain, and the vastness of the form is also given, which is expanding throughout the three worlds. And later Lord's lotus feet and toenails, then his face, his smile, his chest, his waist, and all these things are glorified, features are described, and the Lord is finally compared to a sandalwood tree and a sandalwood mountain. And Brahmaji saw the five ingredients for creation, and he will offer prayers now. That is in the ninth chapter. Thank you all very much. Hearing tapa, you can say. Yes, you have some. Actually, this is like any one creation. Oh, that is original creation. Correct. Fine. That tapa may be different from this tapa. This is not tapa. He didn't hear tapa. He just meditated. Okay, anything else? Yes, Prabhu. Last verse. Actually, five causes of creation. It's not five causes of creation. It's five ingredients for creation. So material creation is like basically the sky, water, land, all these are there. No? So Brahmaji started seeing these things. He saw the sky, he saw the water, he saw the lotus flower there. And what else he saw? He saw the air. So this... So lotus flower consists, the stem, the consists of the, consists of all planetary systems. Right? In that sense. That is the subtle form of the, that is universal form, we can say. That is representing the universal form. So slowly things started manifesting. Things started becoming clearer to Brahmaji. Now he wanted to create the way he created the previous day. It's a daily affair for him. Say devotional service is very personal, right? What inspires one devotee is different from what inspires other devotee. I can give one reference. Naumidyate bro bhushe taditambaraya 10.14.1. That is describing the beauty of the Supreme Lord, the beauty of Vrindavan form of Krishna. At the same time, Acharyas explain that verse very nicely, that that form of Lord, Gopa form of the Lord, is the topmost manifestation of the Absolute Truth, the way Brahmaji saw. And each and every limb of that verse is explained to be the topmost. For example, he says, Vanyasraje. He is wearing a forest flower garland in Vrindavan that is superior to Parijata flowers. Okay, he is wearing Gunjamala, that is even superior to what is that, Kaustubhumani of Vaikuntha. He is walking barefoot. Okay, that is even more glorious than Vishnu wearing chappal there, right? And he is the son of cowherd man, who is that, Nanda Maharaj, right? He is superior to Vasudeva also. So like that, that is the topmost verse. That is, if you want me to, if you want which verse to memorize, you can definitely memorize that verse. But all others are like, depends on what you want to relate to in devotional service, right? Like some people will get excited by seeing the beauty of the Lord, but when that beauty is associated with compassion, tasyavalokam adhika krupayati ghoram. So Lord's glances are beautiful, very nicely described now. So his avaloka, his glance is ati ghoram, tapatrayopashamam. So when that Lord's compassionate glance is vanquishing my tapatrayas, then there is a lot of impetus. Inside there is some kind of uddipana or something like that. Okay, that makes you get attracted to that verse so much. Right? So it's all personal. But for you, what you want to memorize, memorize what is there in your handbook. But ultimately it is, devotional service is personal. Some people excited, get excited with Srishti Leela. Some people, my God, Srishti Leela. That is important, definitely. But different people have different rasas. Yes. I don't know. I have to refer. I don't have anything offhand to give you. I have to check. See, there is always scope for misinterpretation. Now we got the right explanation from Bhagavatam, from Acharya's commentaries. We can try to explain them. That's one thing. Second thing is, scriptures don't reveal why there is a lot of confusion in the scriptures, why there is scope for Mayavad here.
if someone reads this verse, he will actually misinterpret it like that. So there are so many things like that, but ultimately the explanation for that is why scriptures are written that way is they're confidential. The meaning, the ultimate right meaning, is revealed to only deserved people, deserving people, right? If you take shelter of bona fide commentaries of Vaishnava acharyas, the right meaning will be revealed to you. Those who don't want to take shelter of bona fide acharyas, they will perpetually be in such ignorance. So as someone who has read these acharyas commentaries and got the right explanations of scriptures, you can always attempt to educate such people. But there is scope for misinterpretation. Actually, at the end of Bhagavatam, in the 12th canto, I think 6th chapter, when Parikshit Maharaj was just about to leave, Sukadeva Goswami speaks some verses that are not very pure devotional, right? Because he wanted to maintain the confidentiality of Bhagavatam, right? He spoke in an indirect way. But Parikshit Maharaj, being a pure devotee, he understood and then he got the right message, intended message. But scriptures are sometimes spoken in such a way that they can be misinterpreted also. See, Jiva and the Lord simultaneously existed since time immemorial. For example, a company is there. So the CEO, the peon, the manager, the the clerk, all of them simultaneously existed since the beginning of the company. Right? All of them simultaneously existed since the beginning of the company. So, but the CEO of the company, he is like the energetic man, and all the other, you know, attendants or employees of him, they may be considered like energies of that person. So energy and energetic simultaneously exist like that. Without the energetic, there is no meaning for the there is no existence for the energy. Without the energetic, there is no existence for the energy. Without the energy, there is no meaning for the energetic. If you are saying he is energetic, he should have some energy. If you are saying that is energy, someone should possess that energy. Okay? Means we are all like energy or expansion or the Shakti of the Supreme Lord, Jiva Shakti of the Lord. So we simultaneously exist with the Supreme Lord. Just like Prabhupada gives this popular example, sun and sunshine. Without shine, sunshine, where is the sun? What is that? What is the meaning of the sun? Okay, without sun, how will the sunshine exist? So means you cannot separate them. So Lord and the Jiva simultaneously existed. And their eternal relationship is Mamevamsa, what is that? Jivera Sarupa Hai Nityara Krishna Das. They simultaneously existed. They have their individual existences. At the same time, this person is a part and parcel of that person. Make sense? Okay. Yes. We are not sure whether every day he will feel like this. Just one day is picked up here. We don't know whether every day he gets bewildered or not, that I am not sure. But he will come to that understanding very soon by the mercy of the Lord after meditating on the Lord. Every day, whether he gets bewildered or not is not clearly mentioned. I am not sure at least. Whether every day, but that bewilderment is lasting for a very meager amount of time, 100 years only, out of 43 lakh years or whatever. What is 100 in front of 43 lakhs? And that too, that 100 years is passing in meditation. Before that also there is some time he lost. Anything else? Done?
Ranath Krishna Prabhu, Simanchal Prabhu. Yes, Prabhu. God feels incomplete without his internal energy, without his external energy. That mention is there. Fifth chapter is there. No? Again, the creation, Mahavishnu thing will come again, Purushavataras. First Purushavatar is mentioned there. This is second Purushavatar, Garbhodaka. So? Feeling incomplete, the answer is given by Prabhupada in those purports. Right? He compares that external energy to be another wife of a husband, and other wives are enjoying, and then this wife is sleeping, and then he wakes her up. That's one thing. Second, Lord felt incomplete without all the living entities. Right? Basically, all jivas are there. Jivas are meant to serve the Supreme Lord. Right? But these fellows are sleeping. Right, they are in a mute stage. Right, they are in a sleep mode for so long time. So he wants to revive that creation, and ultimately the purpose of creation is to give that living entity who is sleeping another chance to go back to Godhead. That is the purpose of his creation. He wants to revive that again. So it happens periodically. It's not continuous. Right, material world, continuous suffering. By it happens periodically. Actually, every creation, the person will get a chance. Bhuta bhuta praliyate. Every creation, the living entity will get a chance to go back to Godhead. And if he doesn't utilize that chance, niche lord sankarshanena, so he'll become frustrated. He'll become angry. Right? He'll become so angry that Lord Shiva comes out and then he annihilates the whole universe. Right? Again, after some time, Lord becomes merciful and then compassionate. I'll give him one more chance, and then again creation happens. That is the spirit in which creation is happening. Right? With the living entity acts so stupid that he cannot utilize that opportunity that is given to him, Lord becomes little frustrated and angry, and then annihilates. And he wants to give another chance, and then he will create. Right? You see, the in behind all these complicated and technical subject matters of creation, right? So technical matters, behind it you see the heart of the Lord. Whether we get the details of creation or not, I am not minimizing the importance of understanding those details, but like equally important, or if not more important, is to understand the background of creation, what's going on in Lord's heart. He is constantly endeavoring to bring all these conditioned souls back to Godhead. That is, creation is nothing but Lord's endeavor to reclaim the conditioned soul. In one line, that is creation. We need to understand Lord's heart. That is the Srishti Leela. Questions I'll give there. You are coming there. Alexis Prabhu. Okay.